Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
And you know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast. What's up, guys?
What up? Welcome back, Matthew.
It is great to be back on the Mark Order Podcast.
Kate, who are these people? I don't know who these other two guys are.
I don't know, Ann, because we ride or die this shit.
Nah, Kate, Kate, Anthony, maybe. Kate's done the fucking Monday Night Show the last 3 weeks, so she can't even act like she don't know who I am. She done saw me in person. She done saw me on the Zoom 2 weeks in a row. Aunt Money, I had to side text him yesterday just to make sure he was okay, because I hadn't been hearing from him.
He's been working, bro. He's on that grind, because he's built different.
Which one?
Ant
Money.
All of us. We're all built different. We podcast till like 2 in the morning about professional wrestling because it rules. I'm in such a good mood. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just love wrestling so much.
Now, if anyone needs to get their balls busted, it's Ryan Schlong. He becomes an official member, and then he's got a dog sit for his girlfriend in Canada or whatever crazy nonsense he gave us, told us.
You took that story a whole different place. Sister's two dogs had never been away from my sister for that long. They just would keep jumping on me if I were to sit here. I felt like it would be disrespectful. I didn't go on. That's all.
Now, see, Matt, I had the same story as you. I thought he was dog sitting for his fiance who lives in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. But I guess I'm wrong.
Rest in peace, Fez.
Seriously. It's a big one. Schlong, that was Bush League, man. Week one, and you're like, I gotta call out sick.
I don't know. It was plenty available for the Ring of Honor show. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, those dogs went home that morning.
They went home because you're in Philly.
The Ring of Honor was, too.
Those dogs
wasn't up by you.
Oh, my God.
We're going to go back to Ring of Honor because tickets are half off. So excited.
Now, is that a good sign? Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
I don't know. I mean, they had to switch the venue, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, like that they're just trying to move tickets super fast because Lakeland, Florida is COVID. Hey. But I don't know. It works out for us. Let's fucking go. Matt is either trying to kill a bug in midair or clapping at the idea that Ring of Honor tickets are half off. And I'm here for it either way.
No, the cats were rough. They were getting too rough with the rough housing. So I wanted them to stop before someone got hurt. And I think it's because they had to move the venue. And I believe, it's the first Sunday of the NFL football season.
Oh, that'll do it. They also gave away free tickets entirely like 2 years ago. So... maybe their, you know, ticket sales aren't like the thing that they're relying on too much.
Well, I mean, Matt's cleaning his mic off now. I was just going to say, I mean, it's a good deal, especially for a last minute show that they're trying to move, that they're doing tickets half off to try to get, you know, people to go. But it looks like a good bill. I don't know how hard it's going to be to move those tickets.
I don't know how much longer Kate can talk about CM Punk. So let's just get into it. It's the Mark Order Podcast, episode 22. We are live on the Facebook.com/MarkOrderPod.
Whoa. You had to look at it.
Join the markorder.com and of course on the rantteamradio.com. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, that means you found us through the Shining Wizards Network, or you just Googled Mark Order Podcast and you're going to subscribe, you're going to like, you're going to rate, you're going to review, and you're going to tell us how much you're enjoying our AEW Dynamite post show, Rampage post show, Dark Extravaganza. Props to you, Schlong. Schlong is crushing the Mark Order Twitter, literally crushing it.
Since I couldn't show up for my first show, I had to do something.
Dude, you are a maniac on and it's
actually
excellent.
It helps watching both darks, to be quite honest with you, because it keeps me, I enjoy watching them, I love it, but it does keep you focused a little bit because they can go, yeah, they can go long.
Thank you for telling the good people at Fightful that my name is Catherine, by the way. I hate you so much for that, but you are absolutely, absolutely killing it on the Twitter. We've gotten like so much interaction from talent while Ryan has been tweeting during the darks, and we've also just picked up a bunch of followers. So thank you to everybody that is following us at Mark Order Pod. It's been such a blast. Pro wrestling is so fun right now.
But what got us the most followers? God. You crying.
Me crying about Phil.
Didn't get you enough followers. Tommy Dreamer didn't reach out to you and get to try and hook you up with all sorts of free shit.
No, nobody's making me custom sneakers. Nobody's doing anything. But I cried, damn it.
You didn't cry hard enough, Kate.
I guess not.
You should have had mascara on.
I did have mascara.
You should
have
had more on.
I can't express that she was in shock.
I was like,
literally in shock.
I cried way more about it rewatching it. And everybody thinks I rewatched it a million times, which I understand why they think that. But I only watched it like two or three other times. And I was more emotional on the watchbacks. I think I was just like so stunned at the moment. But
you okay over there, big papa hump?
Yeah, I'm good. I thought I heard something in the background. We're good.
Your dome's looking very shiny, my friend.
Yeah. But the days are numbered for peach fuzz up here because it's turning to peach fuzz on its own.
Kind of got the Moxley look going. That's how he came back. Bearded, trimmed.
Pretty soon it's going to be, I'm going to be the dangly daddy's, have the dangly daddy look. It's just going to be gone with a beard. And then I'll have to wear the dangly all the time. Although summer's running out. The summer of the Good Brother summer's running up. We're there.
It's still going on. I thought that thing was over.
There's a lot of different summer monikers right now. There's the Bad Boy Summer, Summer of Punk now, obviously, even though he kind of jumped in pretty late on that.
Kate, we know what you're going to say. We'll get to you last because I'm sure you're going to go on a fucking 15-minute diatribe about this.
I'll behave.
I don't think you've talked. I don't know if you've talked about it enough because you're fucking. I see you're globbing on other podcasts now. You're fucking whoring yourself out, dude. Come on now. You can't just go everywhere. You got to make people come here for you.
I'm spreading the good name of the Mark Order. I got to recruit, man. We're recruitment specialists.
Yeah, it seems like you do a different podcast every day. People are going to get confused. They're not going to know where home is.
This is home, baby. Here in the Mark Order.
You're like a nomad. Podcasting nomad.
I'm a podcast wanderer.
You got your stick with your little bandana full of your trinkets and you're jumping on.
The bindle?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's the bindle.
I didn't know that either.
You're jumping on you're Michael Scott in it onto some trains, running away from your problems, just talking about wrestling. You and Buster.
That's not the worst way to live your life, I don't think.
On a fucking freight train going across the country sounds terrible.
It's an adventure, at least.
What are you going to eat? Gruel? Spam?
Gabagool?
Gruel.
Gabagool.
Gabagool. Ant Money, I want to go to you first. AEW Rampage, Friday night, the first dance, right out of the gate, like a fucking cannon blast. Cult of Personality, Living Color. It's no Glamour Boys, but it's good. Here they come. He's fucking clobbering time. He's drawing on the ground. He's writing, fuck you, Cult. He's throwing up the X's.
Not writing, fuck you, Cult.
Yes, him and Cult. You don't sue your friends, pal, buddy. Here comes old Philip. What'd you
old
think?
Old Phil.
What'd you think?
Listen, I thought that they handled it perfectly. The way that they should have handled it is exactly how they handled it. It's worth noting, Matt, by the way, before we get too deep into this, that the First Dance did draw 1.129 million viewership. That is a 52.5% jump in viewership over the previous week's premiere episode of Rampage. 692,000 of those were 18 to 49 demographic. That's a 0.53 rating, almost a 70% jump up from August 13th. So it was a huge debut, and they had to lead off that way. And they did a great job. Like, you know, there was no other way they could have done it. He had to be at the top, or else the show would have been hijacked all night. So it was just booked beautifully. And actually, I know that I put it out on the Twitter this morning in the middle of all the other chatter that was going on the Mark Order Twitter. But AEW put out a Road to Dynamite video this week that was kind of a special look at the Punk debut. It's a 13-minute video. There's two quick vignettes. It opens with CM Punk's kind of arrival at the arena, a quick thing about you know, Kenny Omega and Christian, and then they go into the whole opening of the show from the open to the point they take that first commercial break before he gets on the ring and speaks. They show it from a backstage perspective of the control room. As a nerd who loves production type stuff and behind the scenes look, I thought it was awesome. It's such a cool look at how they do their production. You know, and for anybody who's not aware, like, it's literally one person calling all the shots, and it was just pulled off so beautifully. So that's out there on the AEW, you know, YouTube, if you want to see it, but it was just done so perfectly in my book. And actually, there were a couple notes I saw from Shivani. He said that apparently on What Happened When, he said that the initial plan was he was supposed to introduce CM Punk and interview him in the ring. That was the initial plan, but they scrapped that and did what they did. And that's absolutely the right call. I just think it was done perfectly. And he gave away ice cream bars on his own dime. He paid with his own personal check. So it doesn't get any cooler than that. Even the post-show media scrum was a pretty good watch. You know, it's like an hour long video, but there's some cool nuggets in there. So I thought it was done perfectly. There's nothing else I could say. It was really a great moment for their television, and they handled it the exact way it should have been.
Mr. Schlong, how was it watching any old Marriott? Were there any ghosts in the hotel room?
It was not haunted when I was there.
Son of a bitch.
But I actually had to go back and watch a little bit because trying to film Kate and her reactions did take a bit of my attention, because she would also try to sneak her crying. Like when she thought I wasn't paying attention, I noticed that she'd get more emotional. So
such a fucking dork.
Yeah. All of a sudden I know she's tearing up. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? So that, but on the rewatch, I caught just how loud that place was. And that was awesome. I don't think you could have done it any differently. Like Ant said, if you did it at the end, which is historically where you would do something like that, the whole show would have just been CM Punk chants and it would have ruined the whole show. Letting him say whatever he wants is just what you have. I mean, that's what they let everyone do, but especially him, because that's what he's known for. I don't think you could do it any better. I don't know what he could have done that would have made that any better. I like the fact that he mentioned WWE without mentioning him, so it didn't come off as cheesy or over the top. It was, you know, more down earth. I loved it, and I was the only one in the room enjoying it, so the other person was crying out of anger.
Wow, angry crying.
I do want to say too that that everything he said apparently was all left to, he was left to his own devices. So the only thing that he was told to mention was Darby Allin, because they obviously are building that match it all out, but everything else was straight up CM Punk, which is pretty awesome. And I also, I forgot to mention this. I thought it was great how, like, come on, it was maybe the worst kept secret, you know, in wrestling today that he was coming, but they didn't shy away from the signs in the crowd. You know, they clearly didn't lower any, you know, kind of audio from the crowd chanting his name. They just did it great. It was great. It really was great, showing the signs before he was even out, panning the crowd, showing how crazy it was. It was great.
Well, I mean, we'll get to it when we talk Dynamite tonight, but he hit on, like, he's in a promotion where they listen to the fans. The fans wanted this. And I didn't get to talk about it Monday night because we had such a crazy show Monday night. And if you're new to the Mark Order podcast and you haven't checked out the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast, no bullshit. This past week, the Mickey, just listen to the fucking Mickey James interview. We talked to Mickey James for a goddamn hour. I kept a poor woman on the phone for an hour. And I talked about cats and boogers. And I even got in a Mr. Hand reference when we started talking about horses. So just so you know, the spectrum of the interview that I am capable of doing, I think it's the best thing we've ever done, to be perfectly honest with you. But we've been talking about it for almost 10 years now. Who moves the needle? CM Punk moves the needle. This is huge. There's people who left. When he left, people said, fuck this, I ain't watching wrestling anymore. And those people are back now. Like, it's so fucking great for the wrestling business. He's great for the wrestling business. I know I play like, I hate CM Punk, you know. It's a fucking gimmick, you fucking nerds, okay? It's to have some fun and entertain you. It's awesome for the wrestling business. I'm surprised Kate didn't order her shirt yet. Did you order your shirt yet?
I haven't. I'm gonna. Every time I tried it, was down. Wow.
Do you know that they actually instituted a queue system now? I saw that today.
Yes, I saw that today.
When it went down, they said, like, hey, we're going to be back up and running on Monday because, like, you guys broke our server, so now we have to move servers. So.
But I think it's awesome for professional wrestling. It's a huge feather in the cap of AEW, and Kate mentioned it because she joined us Monday night. This isn't even, like, we got, and we'll talk about it later, we got our Daniel Bryan reference and a lot of scuttlebutt that AEW wants Bray Wyatt, and he's all but signed, sealed, and delivered. Apparently Impact is making a huge push for him, but I mean, with all due respect to Impact, I think AEW is the place. Can you imagine Bray Wyatt with creative control with Tommy End?
Listen, well, and everybody's working with everyone. Like, there's not, like if he wants to work some Impact dates, it sure seems like he could. Like, everybody's talking sugar on each other right now. It's pretty cool, except for MLW. Everybody else is, like, in a really good place with each other. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's just, like, sign your contract to establish your home. But, like, if you want to go work Impact, dude. Like, who cares?
Asian Joe got his shirt, Kate.
Up good for him.
Up your game, Kate.
Fools. I know. I really need to. Should I just mark out real fast and then we'll get it over
with? It's not gonna. We still got to talk about him again later. So,
I'll reiterate a couple of things from a clarity around what he's doing standpoint. I thought that was such an underrated part of this and very, very important. That he said, "I'm fighting Darby Allin at All Out." He didn't say, "I'm chasing Kenny Omega anywhere." There wasn't any of that nonsense. He made it very clear what he was there to do initially. And then the follow-up tonight, I thought, was gangbusters. I think he really created a feud out of nowhere. But yeah, I mean, what do you even say as someone who, like CM Punk, actually had a really big impact on your life? Like, I had been telling people that, like, the pipe bomb was what kept me in wrestling, and it was such a cool moment, and it's the coolest thing that happened until AEW started. But, like, seeing him back in the ring, I was like, that's not the shit that rules about it for me, though. Like, I like, sincerely was at a place in my life where I was, like, dancing around this idea that you don't have to be a victim of your circumstances after, like, just like a decade of trauma in my life. and you see this guy like coming out talking about positive mental attitude, which was like this idea I was kind of just connecting to. And he sincerely like was the one that showed me that this is an art form. He was the guy that there was an emotional appeal with for me. And 10 years later or whatever, like 7 years since he left, all those feelings came right back. Like that's where the emotion came in. When I was watching it, I was just stunned and so happy that he seemed so happy. Like it was so nice to see him excited about pro wrestling and everything he said about Ring of Honor coming from a Ring of Honor show was like so wonderful. And I just thought it was a really good way to acknowledge WWE without like the chip on my shoulder thing, like to say that I couldn't get well in a place that made me sick. I thought was such great verbiage, because it didn't seem bitter at that place. It was just like I couldn't come back to there. I can come back here. I can't go back there. And I love that he put over AEW as a place that's professional wrestling and not sports entertainment. Anytime you use WWE's own language against them, I find that great because it's how they define themselves. But it wasn't this like, I felt like he was rallying against it more while he was there than he was here. I think he's just really excited to be in AEW. So his emotion about the whole thing was what really got me. And in the production video that you were talking about, which was the coolest shit ever. There's one shot where he's just tears in his eyes and the crowd is in the background going insane. And it's just the most stunning, beautiful moment. So I thought this succeeded on virtually every level. I think it had the impact that you wanted. It's so awesome that he like sourced this local ice cream shop to do ice cream bars, coming back and paid for it out of his own pocket. And to your point, like about moving the needle, not only were those numbers for Rampage insane, but like the YouTube videos have like I think it accumulated over 11 million views between the two of them plus the media scrum. So and to your point about casual fans, like my neighbor was like, hey, I saw you on Fightful and I like didn't realize that you like, we had talked about wrestling, but he was like, this, what is happening here? Like, what is this moment? I was like, CM Punk's coming back, and he tuned in and he was like, I watched it like a dozen times. And he hasn't watched wrestling in years. And he was like, well, fuck, I'm tuning in Wednesday now. So, he is someone that genuinely moves the needle. The t-shirts are bananas. I'm sure the All Out pay-per-views buys are going to be through the roof. Like, I can't imagine how much of his own contract he's already like making up along the way. And like, yeah, Daniel Bryan's still waiting in the wings. That's fucking crazy. So, it just meant everything to me. It just meant everything to me as a wrestling fan.
I want to point out something real quick, just because Kate was talking about the ratings and the views on YouTube. Even being the Elite, where he was on all of a minute, their views are at about 500,000. That is more than double what they've been getting the last probably year or more, if not all time. I mean, just a 1 minute clip of him on that show helped him get an additional 250,000-300,000 views, which also I would say if you have a minute, 2 minutes, his reaction when he hears the pop is very genuine, and then he makes it funny, but there is an honest visceral reaction from him of like, holy shit, that's a lot of noise coming from me.
Yeah, as I can't remember a louder arena that was an arena. Like WrestleMania gets so, you know, it just has so many more fans that the sheer volume is probably greater, but like that pop. And seeing the videos that the wrestlers were like putting up on their Instagram story, like Joey Janela was just like backstage taking video of it. And that was even louder, I felt like, than the production video. It was like deafeningly loud. So it was just cool. Really cool moment as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, and it should be noted too that in the media scrum, they didn't give exact terms of his deal, but he is there long term. He's there full time. He has the ability to go do all the things he wants to do, including his MMA commentary and other endeavors that he's involved with. So this is a great deal for him. I mean, it's a great deal for him. It's a great deal for AEW because he's an ambassador to them when he does other stuff. I mean, I think it's an all around win.
I also like that they didn't reveal that, because it's like, like with Goldberg, you're like, oh, well, he has two dates left on his contract, so that's why he's working. Like, if he's only signed for 15 dates or whatever, you don't want people like tick marking them down and ruining stories. So I kind of like that they didn't reveal that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem knowing the exact terms, but it is nice to know that it is a long-term deal. It's not something where he's doing it for 6 months and then he's out, you know. So I thought that was cool. I guess we should mention the elephant in the room. That was Booker T's comments on the whole return. I know Matt's shaking his head and everybody's giving the jerk off sign. I can't disagree more with what Booker T said, only because his comments make it seem like he literally stood there and said the name WWE for 20 minutes and he didn't. Yes, Matt.
When he debuted in TNA, he mentioned the WWE and he plugged his fucking book. He's a hypocrite. People that live in glass houses should not throw stones. And if people at the WWE are putting him up to this, like, go out there and say something about CM Punk. It's fucking stupid. It's childish. It's bullshit. Think before you speak, Booker T. Your fucking debut is forever available on the internet. Like, thousands upon thousands of people are like, yeah, but you're the guy who also mentioned your website, WWE, and your book during your debut in TNA. You did exactly what you're complaining about. Stop. Booker T.
No, listen, I'm with you.
No, this is John Cena. He does what he do.
He also is going for Hulk Hogan still, apparently.
Brother, let me tell you something, dude.
Nobody has ever been upset about free ice cream in their life. Like, why are you calling out the ice cream bars, dum-dum?
It depends on what kind of ice cream it is.
That's fair.
It's free. It's great. It's
yeah.
No, I don't want a toasted almond.
What?
It's not my thing, man.
It was chocolate-covered vanilla ice cream.
Snow cones are terrible. Snow cones are terrible.
Yes,
they are. They take forever. They melt before you get to the end of them.
I would argue snow cone is not ice cream, my friend. That's a novelty.
Comes from the ice cream truck, buddy.
It's not ice cream. There's no cream in it.
Well, I didn't fucking put it on the ice cream truck.
It's a novelty.
It's on the Good Humor truck, so...
We'll have to ask the Hollywood hunk if there's cream in a snow cone. He'll tell you no.
I would like to call out a couple of comments in the Facebook while you guys are arguing about ice cream and snow cones. Joe Evans said that Booker T has done one too many Spinneroonies in his life. And Brendan said that he found out about being straight edge from Punk and has been straight edge for 15 years since. That's fucking cool, dude. I love that shit. Like,
and also,
that's the part that feels like it's an art. It's an art form.
Also, Robert, being
straight edge is an art form?
Sometimes.
I was going to say, I'm straight edge and it is not an art form. I just don't drink or
like the impact wrestling has on people, Ryan.
Robert Windsor said the ice cream bars were delicious. So I guess he was in Chicago.
Also, I'm going to bring up a topic just because Kate and I talked about, because it's been all over Twitter a little bit, about his age. You know, oh, he's old. He's 42.
It's how old AJ Styles is if you listen to Conrad Thompson podcast.
Bobby Lashley's older than that, and he's their current champion.
Frankie Kazarian's 44.
Bret Hart was 40 in 97. You wouldn't find someone better in 97 than Bret Hart. Like, and that's with all the years on him. Punk's had seven. Granted, he's done some MMA stuff, but he hasn't taken wrestling bumps in 7 years.
Okay,
his body is not a 42-year-old wrestler's body.
He's also done MMA stuff. I love that people just keep forgetting this. Like, that if you've trained for MMA, your like entire skill set doesn't immediately get better. Like, it happens all the time with wrestlers. Look at Thunder Rosa. Like, if you train MMA, your wrestling becomes cooler. Like, he might not be doing stuff off the top rope as much, but his ground game is going to be cooler. I tell you what, in this debut thing with Darby, it's not going to matter because Darby bumps like a motherfucker. So.
Yeah, and I hope he doesn't try and incorporate MMA into wrestling. It's fucking cheese dick.
No, like, not in that way. I just think your wrestling gets better. Like, look at Thunder Rosa. Like, you lay your shit in better, it looks better. But I don't think it's going to be like a, hey, let's have another shoot fight with a predetermined ending bullshit again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that. I don't think that applies to all wrestlers that do MMA and vice versa, because I think that's an athleticism thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I don't know about the professional wrestling side, but clearly if you're in MMA and you don't have a wrestling background, like, you don't pick up a wrestling background. So, I mean, it's not going to help his wrestling, I think, look better. I don't think it helps many people's wrestling look better. I think, if anything, it helps your striking look more fierce, just because you can, you know how to strike properly. So it helps the striking aspect, but he's a good enough wrestler. I don't think he's going to try to incorporate it into his wrestling, you know, move set now. I hope not. I'm with you, Matt.
I mean, if you're like Tommy End, you just strike and you don't give a fuck.
Well, that's very true. We'll talk about Malakai Black in a little bit.
Joe Evans says, I'm 5 months away from being 40. Punk isn't old, damn it. JR called him a young guy tonight, and JR never flips anything he says.
That's true. That is very true.
I heard Kate's on Fightful now. Says a press.
Oh, JR, she was going to do her OnlyFans, then they said no more adult content, and now they reversed their stance, so maybe we are going to get those feet fetish OnlyFan pics. What do you think?
I reached out to old SRS. I said, give her a Fightful t-shirt, and I'll send you the barbecue sauce. Sassafras.
Oh, all right. So, Kate, we have a chance of getting barbecue sauce. We don't move the needle, but apparently Fight Club does.
There you go.
Sassafras, don't talk about
See, JR and I in sync, buddy.
That's right. Come on down to Norman, Oklahoma. Watch a Sooners game with me, Sassafras.
You sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
Suffered succotash. It's been a while since I say now, son.
There you go. Suffered succotash is the wrong character, but we'll give it to you.
Oh, God. My JR is about as bad as my British accent.
Who's that? Oh, it's Matt. Hi, Matt.
Oh, I'm back. Sorry, I had to pee. I heard JR did a run-in.
Yeah, oh, JR was here. You missed him. It's been a while since we've had JR. I guess we should also mention the rest of the card on that Rampage on Friday was pretty good for the show to kind of follow Punk. That had to be tough, but they did have the number one contender tournament match, tag team tournament match. Semi-final. So Private Party and Jurassic Express. Jurassic Express came out on top. They move on. We also had Jade Cargill against Kira Hogan.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's your gimmick.
I noticed. Jade Cargill wound up just crushing Kira Hogan. I think that was a casualty of time, because I think the opening went longer. And then John Moxley and Daniel Garcia. John Moxley wound up winning that match, but Daniel Garcia looked pretty good. So it was a pretty good three-match card to follow up the opener to that second episode.
Bless you, Matthew.
Excuse me, sorry.
That was a violent sneeze.
I'm a scream sneezer. My wife hates it.
So, yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to call out anything about the rest of the matches, but I thought it was a pretty good episode. I mean, obviously, we're there to see the surprise, but you stick around and it wasn't a bad show.
Not going to lie. I had to be up early Saturday. I watched CM Punk and I went to bed. Watched it live and then I went to bed.
Did not register anything else that happened, really. No, I did all right with it. It was a well-sequenced card, too. I remember that. I remember the order of events being smart, that they put something that was like pretty high energy right after the Punk stuff. I think was the tag match, and Jade, they're good with Rampage. This is the second week in a row. It's like a sampler platter a little bit. Like, you got a title change. This time you get Punk, you get like high energy tag action. You get this, like, if assuming a bunch of new people tuned in, which they did, you see this absolute badass looking woman in Jade Cargill and Moxley, who a lot of people tuning in are going to recognize, against a young talent in Daniel Garcia. So very well sequenced card. They seem to really put a lot of effort into the way that they lay these cards out. And I thought this was pretty well done in that regard.
So Kira Hogan was on Dark, Elevation, and now Rampage. So clearly they're, she's probably going to be making her way to the full-time roster on this one, which they'd be dumb if they didn't do that because she's great. I wasn't a huge fan of the squash. I agree it's probably a casualty of time. I hope it is, because if it's not, not so much against Kira, I'm a little worried that Jade hasn't had like a match, but you know, we would don't have to address that if, because it's only been one. And then I love that they're bringing Daniel Garcia around. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love it. And I was hoping that at some point we might see Kira Hogan and Jade Cargill kind of like join forces. I think that could be pretty badass. So we'll see. Matt didn't see it, so I'll have to go back and watch it, but it wasn't a bad show, you know, for show two with a huge surprise. You know, they followed it up the best way they could and it was good.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Hey, everybody's having fun on the Mark Gordon podcast tonight. I feel like it's super early to take a break.
Well, I'm very proud of myself. I thought I was going to be talking about this till 11:45 and everything was going to be terrible, but I was as concise as I get.
A programming note too. I think Anthony, you will not be with us next week, right?
No, I won't be here, and it's, you know, the go home to the pay-per-view.
How unprofessional.
Oh, I'm sorry, Schlong. I've been here since show one and through a pandemic. So, you know, at least I show up for my first show.
Wow. Wow. Deep, deep stuff. All right. Well, Kate, Ryan, just so you know, there won't be, I won't be sending like a thing in the chat next week with like an itinerary.
Just do you want me guys? Do you want me to make you guys one?
I don't need a fucking itinerary. Don't
want... And please, God, make us one. So, for the new people watching and listening, first of all, thank you. Ant is the one that keeps us on track, and we still like end up at like 1:30 in the morning, 2 in the morning usually. So when he's not here, this is going to just have no structure, and it'll probably just be Matt and I ranting and Ryan interjecting between ranting, but it'll be a lot of Matt talking about action figures.
Nope.
And me whining about the women's division.
I hope not. No, you know what? You know what, Kate? I'm going to, with all due respect, go fuck yourself, okay?
Wow.
I structure the Monday night show. You don't think I can structure just one wrestling program? This is going to be a I could do this in my goddamn sleep.
You do structure the Monday night show, but you always say, oh, it's like being on a field trip on Wednesday nights because I don't have to do anything.
Right, but if Anthony's not going to be there, then I can do this. It's pretty easy. It's just one show. I don't have to look up fucking a week's worth of notes. I don't have to see what's going on across every goddamn promotion in the world. I don't have to print up 17 pages of notes where we only cover like two of them. I got this. This is going to be fun.
I think it will
be. But with all due
fun.
Respect, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Right. She was like, oh, it's going to be chaos next week. Matt doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, or we're just going
like
to ramble.
It's like Rick Knox is coming in and refereeing our show. There's just no fucking rules.
I got something for Rick Knox.
Oh, boy.
So real quick, I know we're not doing any of the darks. I'm saying one line. If you have time, Dante Martin had a match on each night. Go watch his matches.
The one with Bowens ruled. I didn't see the other one.
Bowens was amazing, but so was the Allen Angels one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good things. And we normally do cover Dark. There's just so much to get through, and now we've added Rampage. So Ryan does live tweet Dark every week, which has been fantastic, and we are going to bring that back either on social media in audio form somehow because people seem to really like the Dark and Elevation content, so we are going to give it to you. We are just reformatting because we have a whole other show in AEW Rampage now, so just bear with us as we transition through these wonderful times.
And before we hit the commercial break, I also have an update. The stickers are on the way. So not next week because I'm not going to be here, and I haven't thought about how we're doing this, but when I get back in 2 weeks, we'll let you know how you can get some stickers. So stay tuned. Keep watching our social. We'll put it out there. So we'll send you out some stickers if you want some Mark Order podcast stickers. And then another programming note of ours, as we get into September, we will be at the Wednesday Night Dynamite in Newark. We will also be at the Grand Slam Dynamite the following week at Arthur Ashe. So both of those nights, we won't be doing our podcast live. So we're going to figure it out. Maybe we'll do it on Thursday or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have time. Kate definitely doesn't have the time because she does a podcast every night. So we'll have to figure it out. But stay tuned. We'll let you know when we're moving the shows. But right now, Matt, I think we're going to take a break, right?
Yeah, let's take a commercial break because we got to talk rankings. We got to talk Dynamite. There's some news and notes. Lots of exciting things. All Out is shaping up. Mm-hmm, yeah, huh? Me and Kate wearing the Macho Man shirts. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that was, Kate.
I wish you sent me the memo. I would have worn mine.
There wasn't a memo. This was just the shirt I wore last night, and I wasn't going to put on a shirt with sleeves because I spent all day outside in the fucking heat in front of the goddamn oven. So I got the air cranking. I got the guns out, baby.
Guns out, baby.
We don't have like any goofy catchphrase before the commercial break, right? Do we?
Nope. I just let everybody know that they should stick around and hear about these other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network, where three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Hey, indeed. All those fantastic shows, even though I mocked every single one of them, if you're watching on Facebook, can be found on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to a variety of fantastical shows, including this beauty, the Mark Order Podcast. Follow us on social media at Mark Order Pod. As we mentioned, the Twitter machine Schlong is crushing it with the darks and the elevations and the Dark Unleavened. He's doing a great job there. Facebook.com/MarkOrderPod. Join the MarkOrder.com. Do that. Follow us. Like us. Subscribe. I would plug all your Twitters, but I don't have them written down. I don't want to fuck something up. And, you know.
Hey, you got quiet all of a sudden, or is that just me?
What?
Your mic got quiet.
My mic got quiet. I sound great. I sound like a fucking rock star.
Well, that's a little
funny. I am a golden god.
Man, it's so fun to have someone else who's fucking insane on the podcast. Because Ant and Ryan are normal. And I just need someone who's as bananas as I am. And yeah, I appreciate that you're here tonight.
I don't know what level bananas you are at, though.
Tonight I'm at like on a scale of one to bananas, I'm like a bananas and a half. I'm like so in love with wrestling this week.
Right. But you're like, that's like, you're on like a high from the wrestling. Like I'm just a crazy person all the time.
Which is
I can
great,
confirm
though.
That. I can confirm that from our trip to Baltimore. He's yes. Definitely a little unhinged.
Oh, a little. I appreciate you trying to be so kind.
I know. Shirtless at the baseball game.
Right.
Haunted hotel room. We have a good time when we take these wrestling road trips, my friends.
It's all about having a good time.
Well,
but
guys.
But you know what the best time is?
This time? Because we're going to talk about rankings real quick.
Ant's the man and he's the best. It's rankings time, but they're the best.
It's just best and best. Everything's the best.
For the new listeners, we tried to wrap the rankings for a few weeks in a row. Matt killed it out of the gate, kind of hit a sophomore slump on the second week, and then he was gone doing a shoot job. And so I tried to step in, and I was good for the first week, and then I was terrible because I just kept rhyming everything with best. But they're the best in the company.
Sophomore slump. Kate, I fucking Dale Earnhardted those things.
Matthew.
What?
Right into the wall.
It was a fiery wreck week two. Week one is debatable too.
I want to point out, Matt was way better when he didn't have any time to plan or think of him. The minute he had to think of raps, he got in his own head.
It was a disaster.
That's the problem.
And I thought I would have time to do them. And I could have gone many different fiery crashes too. I could have got Aaliyah, Corey Lytle, John Denver.
Stop.
What?
Murdering.
I didn't tell. What? Don't get
I mean,
on a fucking.
You could just went with the Hindenburg. That's so far gone.
Right.
Don't care.
Don't get in a pond hopper. Get a real fucking like Roy Holiday. Come on, people. What are you doing?
Yep.
All right. No, you can't all be Bruce Dickinson. You can't fly 747s. Can't even fly That's your right. pond hoppers. Stick to being a passenger, man.
That's right.
You just be alive. Stay
in the passenger seat. Get in a 747. Don't try to fly it. Jay. Matt's raps were no. He is not. A Violent J. My apologies. I was thinking of Violent J.
Oh, poor Violent J. They're going to have to, they're doing a farewell tour.
Well, yeah, but they're just not going to tour. They're still going to do shows. They were like, we're not touring, y'all, but we're still going to do the Halloweekend and we're going to do the Gathering of the Juggalos and whatever fucked up Christmas show that they have.
What's the Christmas?
Music is as bad with retirements as wrestling is. Nobody actually retires ever.
I mean, if his heart stops, then it's a wrap. Literally.
Gosh,
yeah. What? He has a heart problem. He can't do the raps.
I know, but you're very morbid in this return.
It's not morbid. Stuff. That's just factual. If his heart stops, he dies. And it's
that's not morbid. It's science.
Insane Clown Posse is not Kiss. They're not just going to put somebody else in the makeup and throw him out there. Hey, go play fucking Domino. Good luck. Have
that's
a great
right.
night.
That's right. I would venture to say Charlie Parker is retired from touring altogether. Oh, too soon? That's no, the one that got
that's
everybody?
The guy is, that's the Stones guy, right?
Yes. He just died.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember his name. I didn't know who that was.
Yeah. What do you think he's playing down there?
You goddamn savages. You don't know who Charlie
down
Parker is.
There.
In the dirt. That's where you go when you die. You get put in the dirt. No, I mean, he might be in hell. He's a Rolling Stone. He hung out with Keith Richards, and Keith Richards is a scumbag, so.
Hey, guys, guess what?
What, chicken butt?
Matt Spock, who was at the show tonight, is in the Facebook chat. That rules. Hey, dude.
Hey, Matt Spock. Did you get any merch in how you randomly showed up in a fucking picture on fucking
internet? That was so crazy.
With your weird fucking funny t-shirt bandana, you fucking weird.
It's a Hawaiian shirt.
No, it was Hawaiian, and I was like, that's absolutely him because he's also got the visor.
Yeah. Oh, that was the visor. I thought he had like a t-shirt tied to his head. I broke his heart yesterday when I was like, dude, because a little inside baseball, Milwaukee Tom works at Miller Park.
And inside I was like, baseball.
And I was like, bro, did you know Thunder Rosa was at the ballpark tonight? And he was like, what? No. I kick my supervisor in his bizzles. All right, let's talk these rankings, Ant. Give me what do you got over there? Because let's keep this train a rolling. The cats are fighting. Stop.
Well, while Matt settles the cats, let's talk about the rankings. In the men's division, we know who our champions are. Number one, Christian Cage. He will get a shot at All Out. Number two, Darby Allin. Three, Orange Cassidy. Four, Powerhouse Hobbs. And five, Jungle Boy. So Will Hobbs jumped up because he stacked up Sean Dean on Dark. Orange Cassidy might move up with his match tonight. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we're just going into the major pay-per-view, so there's not going to be a whole lot of shakeups here. But I don't have any major issues, I guess. We're just trying to get to a pay-per-view. For the women, we know who our champion is. It's Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Number one is Chris Statlander. Two, Thunder Rosa. Three, Tay Conti. Four, Hikaru Shida. And five, Nyla Rose. Even though Nyla Rose recently lost and is now trying to get another title shot. And somehow Tay Conti, or I'm sorry, not Tay Conti. Chris Statlander is now the number one contender. I know she's undefeated, but she's got significantly less wins. Yeah, that's where we're at in the women's division. And for the tag teams, the Young Bucks are still our champs. Number one is the Varsity Blondes. Number two, Jurassic Express. Three, the Lucha Brothers. Four, FTR. And five, Private Party. So clearly these rankings were stacked in such a way that made sure everybody in this eliminator tournament got in there, but clearly there will be some shakeups. As we know, Jurassic Express won their match, Private Party lost, so that might explain their rankings. And then we also had the Lucha Brothers. That happened tonight. My apologies. I'm mixing up my fucking Rampages, Dynamites. I can't keep track.
There's 150 shows each week. It's fine.
We'll talk about it. So, guys, let's get into Dynamite. And I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you right up front here. It was kind of a boring show. There was good stuff throughout, but it was really, I think, we were talking about it in the Discord. It was a night that seemed to have better promo work than match in-ring work. So let's get into it a little bit. We start the show with Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy. I thought there was some good stuff in this match. I liked the money stuff. Matt Hardy took the money out. They were playing around with the money. The violent, violent exchange of the kicks with the delete. My goodness, that had my heart stopped. There was a moment where Orange Cassidy flies off the top rope and lands on Matt Hardy's face, which may have broken his nose because he was bleeding profusely. But Orange Cassidy does get a win by a pinfall, hands in his pocket, victory roll pin. Kind of a quick finish there, and that match is over. So I'll say this. I thought it was a fun match. The ending was a little weird. But what better way to start the night because you just had a ton of people see CM Punk come back and are probably tuning into this show to look for CM Punk. So you put a guy who they might be familiar with from the, you know, the Federation in Matt Hardy. You put a guy who is All Elite up there in Orange Cassidy, who's totally different mold, can do some really cool stuff, but is a gimmick all his own. I thought it was a smart move to lead the show off with this. I'm going to go with Schlong first, because this is technically, I guess, your first official show. So Schlong, let's get your take on this match.
Match was a lot of fun. I'm a big Orange Cassidy fan, so anything he does. I also think it was very smart to start with him, because if you weren't going to start off with Punk, which was fine tonight, you had to start with someone that was going to get the fans happy and cheering, and Orange really does that. The ending did come kind of weird. I'm wondering if the broken nose played a role into that, where they were kind of like, let's just cut this out. It's getting a little sloppy because Matt probably can't see with his eyes swelling from the broken nose. Otherwise, I do actually like that pin, though, with the hands in pockets, because it's a unique thing you don't see often. Matt rolled his eyes because he hates fun. I get it, Matt.
Matt hates fun.
You do?
No.
It's okay, buddy.
I don't.
You do. It's okay. We understand.
No, I don't hate fun.
And I should also say this, Schlong. I don't know, and nor have I seen anything saying that Matt Hardy did or did not break his nose. I'm making an assumption because his nose was fucking gushing.
Most people, I think, are assuming he broke his nose based on how it looked.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Dog butt.
Yeah, I see dog butt. Wow.
Not enough. I don't butt. See the hole.
There it is.
Stick your finger in it.
Kate pretty much like lifting his ass and tail up to expose that poor dog. Seriously.
No, so he does this very weird thing in general where he has hip dysplasia, which sucks. But he won't he'll never sit fully down. He's always like floating a little bit, or he's laying down. So it didn't, like, all I had to do was turn him. Gross. He presented his butthole to you. I think that
you
was like
presented his butthole to us. I won't say
olive
you.
Branch to Nelly is what that was. Ew. Matthew. Gross.
So I was saying,
God, you're talking about boogers on Monday. You're putting fingers in buttholes on Wednesdays.
I wasn't putting no fingers in buttholes.
Well, Kate, getting back to the show, what did you think of the opener?
I actually thought the match up until the ending was better than I thought it would be. I didn't really have high expectations for this, but I'm on the same page as you guys about this being the smart move to open with, not only for the reasons, Ant, that you mentioned, of having a WWE alum and this like super new guy who, like, my sister knows who Orange Cassidy is and she doesn't watch wrestling. He's just fun. Like, he's a really fun person, which is why Matt doesn't like him. So,
is he a fun person though?
Yeah.
What's so fun? What's so fun about him? Is he because he's lazy? Because he's lazy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Except for when he goes to do those devastating strikes that we saw against Sting and that we see against here with Matt Hardy. He is a legend killer, all right?
I preferred him when he was an ant.
Oh, I mean, I love a good ant. I do a show with one, you know what I mean? So, but I also agree, as soon as Jane hit, like as soon as that song hit, everybody reacted exactly how you want them to react starting off a show. There were no CM Punk chants. Like, I was really, really glad that the crowd was just happy with what was in front of them, starting with Orange Cassidy, who's over like Rover. Such a smart move in that regard. That ending was not good and it made no sense, and I still loved it. You commit to those pockets, my friend, even when they don't work. You go, Orange Cassidy.
It's his gimmick. He's got to stick with it. Matt, you got any thoughts on this?
You know what? This is the only match I missed. I got home early enough just to jump in the shower, and then I came down during the commercial break. So I missed the first match, and I missed the Malakai Black little video after it, but I saw everything after that. So I cannot comment because I did not see.
No worries. But let me bring up to speed on the Malakai Black promo. He spoke about going up against Brock Anderson. Suggesting that it's going to end with Brock apologizing and going to the back to think about the idiocy of what he has tried. And if it doesn't go like that, he'll take it out on his dad. and on Cody and on Dustin and anyone remotely associated with the Nightmare family. So Malachi is basically saying he's going to murder everybody. And I should note, this is threat number one of the night, because there were a lot of murder threats on the show tonight. So, guys, my favorite part about this is that like a quarter of his face now was black. Like, it keeps growing and growing, and now it's literally taken over like a quarter of his face. I think it's fantastic. Another good promo. And it shows you how great it is to be in control of your own messaging and your gimmick. Kate, what'd you think?
I really liked this. It was nice to hear him speak kind of in more plain terms. There were no horse metaphors. There was nothing along those lines. I kind of laughed because he was like, or anybody associated with the Nightmare family. I was like, that's like the whole roster, which is great. Because I will watch Malachi Black take on anybody. But I was like, everybody in this Nightmare is in the Nightmare family at some point, it feels like. So I was just thinking of how expansive that could possibly be. This was great. Short and sweet. A lot of the promos today, and we'll get into it later because we had a couple of back-to-back examples. Just like, hey, I'm going to say just the things I need to say and get the fuck out. Like, there were a lot of really short but very impactful and efficient promos on the show tonight. This was a great one. I was like, he's going to come and say that he's going to murder Brock Anderson, right? Yes, that's exactly what he did. And murder is cool there. Eddie Kingston in canon has murdered someone. So make your threats, man. I'm into it.
Schlong, you like the Malachi promo?
I do. I really like what he's doing overall. The only comment I'm going to make is I hope whoever who's doing his eye makeup is the same person who does Danhausen's makeup. Because I said this to Kate at ROH. That makeup never runs or comes off. And I think for this to work for Black, it can't be like Darby's that comes off during the match. It has to stay. So I'm hoping they're using the same makeup style makeup, because it's really cool as it just keeps spreading.
Another good promo out of Malachi. We're going to talk about him again later, but we go to commercial and come back, and Jericho is making his entrance to the ring. He basically talks about how great the week has been for AEW and how everybody's been celebrating except for him, because he lost to MJF for the third time. And even worse, he tapped out. I guess he forgot about that hold. The man of 1,001 holds forgot that one. And he says it's been driving him crazy. People ask why he put himself in the situation in the first place. And he says it's because that's who he is. That's what he does. But he failed to beat MJF, and that's driving him crazy. And he says he's got a proposal for a way to end this with Max. And he wanted Max to come to the ring, but he doesn't. So he continues on and says that if he's listening backstage, the proposal is basically to have one final fight at All Out. And if MJF beats Jericho, then he shouldn't be in an AEW ring anymore. So the stipulation is that if Jericho loses, he'll do commentary full time on Rampage. Because if he wins, MJF, that is, he will never wrestle again. That's when MJF comes in wearing a fantastic MJF 3 Jeriblo 0 shirt. And he says it's getting embarrassing that Chris, you know, keeps saying his name, and he just keeps thinking, leave me alone, go away. But, you know, he's basically down for this. So long story short, MJF does accept this match and the stipulation. But he asked Jericho to really consider it, mull it over, because he's putting his in-ring career on the line against the same person who's mopped the floor with him three times. And that is where we're at with Jericho and MJF. So, Matt, I'm going to go to you first here. The thought here is, why wouldn't they have just, I mean, clearly we know why they wouldn't have, but like, this should have just been how it ended with the five chapters. Like, this just should have been it. Right?
I don't know. Should it have been? You're going to want to put these guys on All Out. It's a huge show. It's another great match that's going to probably deliver. I get why people are like over the, you know, it was the booking's been interesting to have Jericho beat those four guys and then lose to MJF. And then the way they kind of promoted this all week, like he's going to address his future. So, I don't know. I get it. I'm just kind of just, I'm kind of not, I don't care.
Yeah. I think that's fair because this has gone on for so long, right? Like, it's been so long. I mean, they were partners and then he got kicked out. And now we've had this faction feud and he went through this whole thing. It's just like, you know, it feels like it's run its course like three times.
Yeah. Like if we lose, the inner circle breaks up. The inner circle doesn't break up, but they kind of splinter off and are involved in their own kind of small feuds. But like, I don't know. I'm sure the match will be fantastic. I think MJF has to beat him.
I agree. I don't disagree. And I guess, Schlong, I'm going to throw this to you, is I'm pretty sure everybody in this group thinks that MJF is going to win. Like, there's no way that Jericho can win this match because I think Jericho's got to go away. But if that's the case, he can't be done wrestling. He's got to come back at some point. How do you get out of this?
Matt, you look like you're going to say something. You look like you had an idea.
I mean, I have 100 ideas. He said I'll never wrestle in the AEW ring again, but that means the door is open for other promotions. And, you know, he can always don a mask and be like, you know.
Like the Midnight Rider.
The Midnight Rider, the Yellow Dog, Mr. America, whatever you want to do.
Juan Cena.
You know, and I know Tony Khan likes that old, like, Mid-South type of deal. So, you know, he can go away for a couple months and then he can show up and then, you know, a masked dude can beat MJF and then MJF can cry foul that it's Jericho. But then, you know, Jericho could be fucking standing on the ramp and this masked dude could be, you know, covered in fucking paint and tattoos like when didn't Jericho did that to Kenny at All Out that one year where he dressed up like Pentagon. So there's a lot of outs here, but I do think Jericho needs to. But he did say if he lost, he'll go be the regular commentary on Rampage, too. I didn't mean to hijack your question to Schlong. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Schlong, what do you think here? What are we doing?
So I was glad Matt went in how they get out of it because I was kind of curious what everyone was thinking. I agree with Matt. The whole point is obviously they want them on All Out. What I don't get is why couldn't you just have the last match of the five layers be on All Out? You didn't have to have the two, like that one in between. You could have said this last one is for this at All Out. I'm a little bored of the storyline.
I'm also bored, but I think the idea for the fifth match, the idea that he doesn't get intro music, I think that maybe, like, it was a fucking cool moment. It was a cool TV moment when the whole crowd sang his intro.
Yeah, but do that at the pay-per-view.
I don't
like
know.
My idea with this is you have Nick Gage come and carve him up, right? So maybe to make that seem even more brutal, you have to give him a couple weeks. Like Tony Khan is like, this is ridiculous. You can't do that. And then somebody jumps backstage, but you don't have your Juventud match yet. Just stall it another couple weeks because, like, not only are we getting a rematch, it's like a rematch that we just saw 2 weeks earlier. Like, that's not very fun. I feel like if MJF retires him, then we're in good shape. If Jericho wins, or, and they don't do this a lot, but they don't do it a lot, which means sometimes the situation's right for him. If it's like Sammy's coming down to save Jericho or something, I'm going to be like, barf, because I'm just so over the inner circle stuff. And I just don't like that Jericho is obviously a legend and MJF is great. And this is feel stuck in the mud. Like these are two talents that are fantastic and should be like a catalyst for the product. Not something that's weighing it down. Both of them, my goodness. This felt like it was dragging on 3 months ago. And then I feel like the labor's kind of revived it because they were doing like cool surprises with it. But then to have this rematch, if it's not a clean MJF win, I think that's going to be kind of a bummer. I'm sure the match will be fine. But I'm so ready for this to be done. And it's wrestling. You can get out of it however you need to. Cody Rhodes is going to be champion at some point.
No,
I don't know when, it'll happen. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a million different outs that you can create.
No, no. Cody's a man of his word. He's never going to go back on that. Your point, though, with the labors was the whole idea was it was Jericho setting, or excuse me, MJF stacking the deck. So it was supposed to be week after week of Jericho getting the dog shit beat out of him till he finally gets in there against MJF where he's beaten and broken down. And I think with it being so close to All Out, I think it's just easier for them to say, let's just do this one match and it, hopefully we can write Jericho off TV for a little while. He can go do Fozzy and he can kind of take a break and do some yoga and maybe not drink so much vodka. And then you can start something fresh with MJF after the pay-per-view. And again, I'm with you guys. I'm fucking over this. But they'll deliver at the pay-per-view, and I'm sure it'll be highly entertaining as long as MJF wins clean.
I think it's also that we're getting a rematch in the title picture, too, that I'm like, I don't want two rematches of things that just happened so soon. Like, it just feels... And again, I watch the WWE product, so I see rematches constantly. So I'm sure I'm burned out from that. But I'm like, rematch of a title thing that just happened 4 weeks ago. And this rematch that's happening 2 weeks later just feels like it feels like they mismanaged the timeline getting here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with obviously I'm with everybody here. We're burnt out. We just need, I think, a break from this or some sort of move on to whatever's next. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I do think that MJF is going to get him clean one more time, and that's going to kind of set Jericho up for whatever comes next. So let's move on from this. We go to a Varsity Blondes promo backstage. They cut on the Lucha Brothers, telling them their bond might not be blood. Their bond is a lot thicker. They're going to go on to challenge the Young Bucks at All Out. So they make their way to the ring. We get the Young Bucks, or we get Penta and Phoenix come to the ring for their match, and the Young Bucks with the Good Brothers and Brandon Cutler set up their chairs on the stage to watch the match, and we go into this tag match. So, guys, I had really high hopes for this match. There were just some moments that seemed disjointed. I don't know what it was. Pillman looked a little slow to me tonight, like just a step off. But there were some, you know, nice moments in this match. I think anytime you put Penta and Phoenix in the ring, they always show up. And eventually the Lucha Brothers do win by pinfall with that assisted pile driver on Brian Pillman Jr. Post-match, Jurassic Express, who was watching ringside with Marco Stunt Matthew, gets in the ring. They kind of are just staring down a little bit at the Lucha Brothers. But the Bucks come to the ring. They start to instigate a little bit. And that's when Jurassic Express and the Lucha Brothers team up to work together to take out the Elite on the floor. And that is how we end this match. So, guys, we're going to get the Lucha Brothers versus Jurassic Express at Rampage for the finals of this Eliminator tournament to see who's going to face the Bucks at All Out. So, Kate, let's go to you first on this one. I have a couple things here. What do you think of the match? And who do you think is going to come out on top of this Eliminator tournament?
So the match, I'm with you. It just felt a little off, just a little disjointed. Like you said, Pillman definitely got gassed earlier. I don't blame him. Keeping up with the Lucha Bros is tricky. It just seemed like a ring chemistry thing that happens sometimes when people aren't maybe super familiar with each other or the styles are just like a little bit weird. It just didn't click in super well at any point. I don't know who's going to win this Eliminator tournament. It kind of feels like it could be just about anybody that's involved. Cause I don't know. I don't feel like anybody that wins this is going to be the people that dethrone the Bucks. So I'm just kind of rooting for a good match. But yeah, it is funny. This was like a little bit off of a ring night, but a great promo night. So a tale of two dynamites in one. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't egregiously bad. It just never had the, like, momentum that we see in a lot of these tag matches, especially with Penta and Phoenix.
Matt, what did you think about the match, and who do you think is going to win this Eliminator?
The match itself, I enjoyed. There were spots, and I think that's a theme tonight, like Kate and you mentioned, Anthony. And I think the problem is you put people in the ring with Penta and Phoenix who naturally go 100 miles an hour because that's all they know how to do. And, you know, I'm not a wrestler by any stretch of the imagination. So don't think I know better than Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison, but there were points in the match where maybe if Penta and Phoenix had just slowed down for them, and just everybody slows down, because Kate mentioned it, and I think you did too, Anthony, like it looked like Pillman was kind of trying to play catch-up, and, you know, it's the slightest little, thankfully nothing went wrong, but the slightest little botch, and someone could be fucking drozzing it up, so... you just got to slow down. I like the match, though. I think Phoenix and Griff Garrison are, like, destined to be solo. There's something about Griff Garrison that I'm like, this kid's going to be a fucking star. And Phoenix by himself, if he can stay healthy, should be a fucking megastar, a solo guy. In terms of who I think wins, I think it's Jurassic Express, and I think the story is that they have not been able to beat the Young Bucks, put them in a cage. I think it's time to take the belts off the Bucks. Jungle Boy is over as fuck, and I think it'd be a nice little moment for them if they can get some gold. So I would like to see that. The Bucks have beat everybody. There's literally nobody left but the Gorillas of Destiny, and that's you bringing in somebody from the outside at that point.
Interesting point, Matt. Schlong, what do you think here?
So I enjoyed the match. I enjoy most things, so. There's that, but I agree. It was a little off. What I kind of thought was that the Varsity Blondes, it almost looked to me like, I hate to say it, but a little bit of nerves. You're in front of probably the largest crowd they've ever wrestled in front of on a huge stage. And like Matt said, the Lucha Brothers just go. So if you have nerves and your opponent's just going, I don't think that's going to mesh real well. This is when I realized that Matt was watching the show live because he started tweeting about Marco and things like that. And I was like, okay. Matt's involved, which maybe my favorite moment is when Marco got into the ring. I was like, oh, he is there, because I could just picture Matt's anger at home.
There was no anger. It was, oh, third wheel's here, great.
Fair enough.
Look, I could do without Abrahantes too. I don't understand.
I love Abrahantes. I don't he's grown on me so much. I think if you watch some more of the darks, he grows on you because he gets a little more involved, like side skits on there where he's kind of funny. But in terms of who I think wins, my problem is I think Jurassic Express, but then that's your third rematch on this card because Jurassic Express just won against the Bucks. And I don't hate rematches when they make sense. I don't mind the Christian rematch. I wouldn't necessarily – I guess it's just the Jericho one that stands out to me. So I really don't hate the Jurassic Express rematch because they had a good match against the Bucks, and there's a reason to have it in a cage because they were kind of cheated because of how the Elite act. Truthfully, the two teams that would be most likely to take the belts off the Bucks, were we not in the situation, are in a feud together, and that's FTR and, you know, Santana and Ortiz. They're the teams that everyone, whichever it is, fans would love to see them take it, but they're in what I think is a good feud, so I get why that's not happening. I would love for the Bucks to give those belts up to Jurassic Express. This is going to happen. I would love for them to give it up to Jurassic Express at All Out. I think that would be a hell of a moment, and it would be a shock. And I think it opens up the tag division then. You have Bear Country back. They can start. They had a mini feud with Jurassic Express. You open up a lot more opportunities. So I like that idea a lot.
Yo, if Jeff Goldblum can win Golden AEW, that would be awesome.
Listen, if the TNT's got contacts, they should have him do some kind of like vignette with them. It would be amazing.
You should do that, and Rosie O'Donnell should show up at an MJF match at some point.
Wait, where am I? I'm missing that one.
Oh, he was on Rosie O'Donnell.
As a little kid? Did you never see this?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, YouTube MJF Rosie O'Donnell. You can find it everywhere.
I don't get the Jeff Goldblum love.
He's in Jurassic Park.
I get the tie-in. I just don't understand this weird like love for Jeff Goldblum that people have.
I don't have love for him. I just think that'd be a fun crossover. You could also get the other dude who was in Jurassic Park. I don't care. Just give me someone from Jurassic Park. The original, not the remake.
What about Newman?
He's dead.
No, he's not.
Wait, is he dead for real?
No, in Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay. I thought he was shoot dead. That made me sad.
Oh my God, Wayne Knight is very much still alive. You might have just killed him though.
Hasn't killed like 30 people by now, I will survive my
Ryan Schlong. Funny, like, funny side story. If you want to go back to the Shining Wizards archives, I wish Dynamite Kid death, and he died overnight.
Yeah, yeah. Matt only kills wrestlers.
Well, don't stick a
wrestlers.
Fucking shotgun in your wife's mouth, you piece of shit.
Oh, he was not a good guy, but
yeah,
wow.
No, he wasn't a nice person.
I mean, I killed New Jack on my birthday, so.
Racist.
Again, not a nice person.
Not a great dude. Yeah, same deal. Same deal.
So,
not the best.
So, question about this Eliminator tournament. Is there any way that we somehow get swerved and the outcome kind of gets affected by the Young Bucks and TK says, you know what, fuck you, they're both making it into this cage, and we have a three-way tag match in a cage?
I mean, that would be, that's all, there'd be a lot to digest there. That'd be absolute chaos. I don't think I'd be against it.
I just wonder if a cage, and I don't mean to say it like jokingly, could it contain that many guys who can move at those levels? I mean, you're talking the Lucha Brothers alone, Jungle Boy, and then the Young Bucks, they're going to be all over the place. I mean, maybe if you have Knox ref it, you could get through it, but...
No referee.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like that anyway.
You need a referee to count the pinfall, because you should eliminate that you can escape the cage, because it defeats the purpose of a cage match when you... the way to win is to run away from the fight. I don't like
One that. Of the worst things... Never WWE ever did was add that, or whoever added it. You need, the point of a cage is to contain it, not to escape it.
ROH had a great cage match because they did all that nonsense in the beginning, then it went into the cage. It was fucking great after that. I don't think we get swerved here. I think this is just gonna be what it is. I wouldn't hate that idea, but also the Lucha Brothers are constantly injured anyway, so I'm okay with them not being in a cage with that many people.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you were okay with them not being champs. It's like, well, they have a storyline anyway outside
no,
of this.
No, like I just feel like the more bodies you add to that, the more chaotic it's gonna get. So more that. But as Joe Evans said, Rick Knox, the master of the tornado referee match,
the tornado tag match. That's
tornado
the master
tag
of the tornado
match.
Tag match. Jesus, Kate.
Phenomenal.
I'm actually, though, while we're talking, picturing the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks in the steel cage. And that's going to be, if that's the match, that's fucking insane. Well, Rey Fénix will do something insane.
I mean, either, I think we're due for a killer match, no matter who it is at All Out. So it'll be interesting to see who makes it into the solid steel cage. So moving on from this, we do get on a video package with Andrade and Chavo hyping up their match against Pac at All Out. Not too much to say here unless anybody wants to talk about the video. But it was a pretty short video, just another good package.
Do you want to do your Chavo thing?
Oh, Chavo. Dun, dun, dun. Listen, I wasn't even watching that round then, and that's in my head.
I'm just hope we don't get a copyright strike for your beautiful song.
You got to raise it up an octave, but it was pretty good.
My voice just does not go that high. I've tried.
Oh boy. Well, guys, we're at the point in the night where I was just like, what the fuck are we doing? Jamie Hayter makes her Dynamite debut against Red Velvet. And man, Matt is stirring it up, but Red Velvet was not tonight. Really, really fucking weird. Like, Red Velvet is now a mystery to me. How she can raise, you know, like, rise to the occasion on some big matches, and then just tonight take 500 steps backwards. I did not enjoy this match. That stuff at the end where she did the moonsault and like completely miss and hit her face, I guess, on Jamie Hayter's knee to knock herself out. Like, what are we doing? I don't know if that was planned or if that was like, I fucked up and that's all I can do. But either way, Jamie Hayter wins by pinfall with a lariat. And then post-match, Chris Statlander comes in to help make the save. on Red Velvet, and basically runs out Rebel and Britt Baker, you know, it looks like we're going to get Britt Baker and Chris Statlander it all out. So, Kate, you are the resident women's division ranter on this show. Let's get your take on this first. What did you think?
Ironically, normally I'm like, the match is okay, but the booking is stupid. Today, I actually felt like the booking was smart, and there's a story that they're continuing and telling here, but the match was bad. Like, the match was not good. Yeah, Red Velvet is inconsistent in the ring for sure. Definitely looked very green today. The spot that you mentioned toward the end was just, it was a mess. It was not good. However, I will say there's like a story being told, which is good. We are seeing something that happened last week continue over into this week, and ramifications from those actions continuing to the pay-per-view. So that actually made me really excited. I think Chris Statlander and Britt should be great. I don't know what the status of her injury is. Like, I don't know if this is actually going to turn into Chris and Jamie, but Britt was in the ring last Friday, so I guess she's good enough to go. Chelsea Green's fighting with a broken arm. They look almost exactly the same, so I guess they have the same injuries too. But the match itself was bad. However, I was encouraged to see the fact that they're actually making an effort on the storytelling side. So a complete 180 of what I normally rant about every week. That is a very encouraging sign to see them actually kind of giving a shit there. And as far as the not great match that was there, that's not what the story is going to be moving forward, right? So I don't think we have to worry about the two of them facing off again anytime soon on Dynamite. So not a good match at all, which is a bummer. Because Velvet has looked really good sometimes, and I'm excited about Hayter, but I am glad to see that they are trying on the storytelling front.
Shlong, what'd you think about this?
So listen, I'm not a Hayter. I'm
Young Grasshopper.
Uh-oh, Matt's got a look on his face. No, I mean, the cat's protecting me. The match wasn't good. I don't actually think Velvet's inconsistent. This is one of the few times I think she's had a bad match, which just sucks because you know it happens to everyone at some point. I think she went out there with the intention of, you know, bumping like hell for Hayter, and just that morphed into just a really not great match, which is a shame, especially because it's, you know, Velvet's has been looking good, so it sucks to have a bad one on her record. And Hayter's first match in AEW, you don't like it to be such a, you know, a clusterfuck. On the plus side, like Kate said, this is a story. It's a story I'm enjoying now. Statlander makes a lot of sense as the next opponent, though I do want to see Hayter versus Statlander. I think you're looking at two, you know, women who are considered powerhouses in that division in terms of size. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm just interested to see where they go, because I don't think Statlander's beating Britt. So you're going to have another challenger, but at the same point, you don't want to, where does Statlander go after? Now, none of these are bad questions. It's kind of fun to look at and say, like, actually, there's some plot here.
Well, we've eventually got to get to Thunder Rosa. I think that's eventually where we're going, but how they get there is the big question. Matt, what did you think about this women's match?
I thought, slow down. Mm-hmm. Red Velvet was trying to go a million miles an hour. I think in another 8 months, Jamie Hayter will be like the best thing that the AEW women's division has decided to do. She looks amazing. Dead ass, son. She fucking chopped Red Velvet, and I fucking felt it on my chair. And she just looks, she looks like a star. Like, she looks, she's a bigger, taller, jacked chick. She can work. She knows how to work. She's not like this unknown wrestler. She had a great career over in the UK. And I think your story is she racks up all those fucking wins, and when Britt needs her to be there against Thunder Rosa, she does an about face and she fucking walks out on Britt Baker.
It's a good way of separating the two, and then she can go her own way and kind of run ragged through that division. So yeah, that's not a bad idea. I like that.
And you know, I mean, I can't say anything else that you guys already didn't say about Red Velvet. She's hot and cold. She's still kind of green, but I think this was just a case of just slowing down. I don't think the loss hurts her because she lost to the champ last week. Just go to the back of the line. She'll be in the Rumble, the all out pre-show thing. You know, she served her purpose, and she's still got a ways to go, but we've seen the best of her, and now we've seen the worst of her, so I think this was just a case of her slowing down. The moonsault thing, like, Hayter did what she could, like, to recover. Like, she did what she thought would make the most sense and just get up and fucking beat her. You know, like, at that point, when there's a botch like that, you can't do anything.
Yep.
So, but I
actually prefer that.
I really like
Jamie. If you're going to have a botch.
Yeah, I really like Jamie Hayter, and I think she's going to be a huge star in the women's division. And I'm a little disappointed in you, Ant, when you went through the women's rankings. You didn't do the whole Shaida thing.
Oh, I forgot, because I was just trying to get through the rankings.
Fair enough.
Is she still ranked?
Yes.
She's
four or five.
I was going to try and do that to you yesterday when you said you were going on vacation, and I was going to be like, what's a vacation?
Yeah, I'll let you know, because this is the first one I'm taking in a long time.
Where are you going, big guy?
Just to Wildwood. I'm pulling old man Tony, and I'm taking the family to Wildwood.
Wildwood's a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah. My parents and my family, we used to go.
Nice, like, South Jersey summer. Shore town.
Yeah, it's a getaway for me because it's truly hours drive instead of all you Philly garbage down there. It's like a 30-minute drive, you know.
Just saying, you come down here for your vacation.
Yeah, because it's like a different fucking world down there. I might as well be visiting a different country. It's all Phillies hats and Eagles stuff. It's garbage.
It's all floating around the ocean.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, guys, prepare to have your hearts ripped out. Because we go backstage to the Dark Order. And Evil Uno cuts a promo here. He says that the Dark Order is a unit. And some of them weren't there to help him and Stu. But that's okay. Because they're still a unit. And Alex Reynolds takes some issue here. Saying that they weren't there for Adam Page. So why would they be there, you know, for Uno and Stu? Like, it's kind of like hypocrisy. And Uno tells him that they made the decision for the best. Reynolds gets more upset and says he's done with the Dark Order. And Evil turns to him and says, maybe you should step out of John Silver's shadow for once. And Alex storms off. Silver goes after him. The Dark Order is clearly in chaos. Evil Uno's apologizing, but nobody's listening. And we go to a break. So, guys, Dark Order's in some disarray after the Cowboy takes off here. You know, we had been talking a little bit over the last few weeks about, you know, we don't want this to take too many left-hand turns. You know, we don't want this to swerve too many ways, but I think they're kind of going in a good direction. I think all of those worries have been kind of subsided for me, at least, because I think this is going in a pretty good direction. Matt, what do you think about what they're doing with the Dark Order right now and kind of driving a wedge between the group?
I really like it. I think it sets up for some fun infighting. Silver and Reynolds against Uno and Grayson is going to be amazing. And I think when the family's falling apart, who do you turn to? You turn to Mom. And this is the perfect spot for Anna Jay to return. Anna! This is a perfect spot for her to come back and kind of bring the family together. Let them do their infighting. Let them have some fights. You know, don't break up the Dark Order. But I think it in the storytelling aspect, I think having her come back and she's the glue that holds them together, like, I think that's a beautiful story. And the role that she played in the Dark Order, I think it makes sense that she brings everybody back together. Let them fight. Let them have a couple matches. Let them be at each other's throat. You know, Colt threw out a little comment during the argument. So, like, let them bicker. But I think if it sets up Anna's return. Look, I saw a bunch of people online. We're not getting a new fucking leader. Stop. Brody Lee was the leader of the Dark Order. There will never be another leader. plain and simple. But I think if Anna comes back and then she's the glue that keeps, you know, brings the family back together, I think there's a beautiful story. Then you can bring Adam Page in down the road after he has his child or whatever he's, you know, doing, riding horses, whatever.
Schlong, how is your heart after the Dark Order?
It hurts. It hurts a lot. Two things. See, I don't go to the John Silver shit. Anna. I legitimately sing the Fanta song, but
hold
Anna,
on. Hold what on. Was Schlong. It? Yeah, what did you say, Matt?
I said his heart hurts because he's wearing all that nasty shit.
Okay.
Oh, I could take that. Whatever. That doesn't bother me.
Phillies, Flyers. Where's your Sixers gear, bro?
Dollar
my
store.
My hat's up over there.
Shithole. Driving home from there, from the 2300. Stock.
Oh, yeah. That whole city should fucking burn to the ground.
Good. Anyway what do you think?
Full I don't do the John. Right.
I don't do the Anna. That's why you guys are all coming here for wrestling. I don't do the Anna John Silver. I sing the Fanta song for Anna, just so everyone's clear. Second of all,
can we get a few bars of that? What's that? What's that? Song?
Sure. Anna, don't you wanna? Anna, don't you want? No, no one. Just
no, I enjoy the dance.
You got to give a dance to it, too.
I enjoy that.
The shit I got on the group text about Kate. Don't sing tonight. Keep things on track. Meh, meh, meh. We have so much to cover. I don't need you marking out over CM Punk and singing all the time. Schlong with two songs.
Man, no listen, I forgot I can't mute you. I'm looking for mute control. I don't have it.
He is now, since we can't do a tip of the Schlong anymore, he's now two song Schlong.
Two songs.
Yeah, we'll see if I stick to just two. I actually like the Anna thing. I wasn't thinking of that because I thought the natural story was that the Dark Order was there for Hangman when he was in a bad place, and now he comes back and is there for the Dark Order for them now that they're in a bad place. Like, I thought that was a natural story. However, if he's not ready to come back yet, Anna is a great way to take it, or them together. Like, he brings her back as like, I know what's been missing. It's not me, it's her, which would be a fun, huge pot for her because Hangman does it, but also be a fun way to keep him around. I don't like them breaking up, but I'm assuming they're not going to. If they do, I'm going to be very upset because I don't think it's time for it yet.
I don't think there's any way they're breaking up. First of all, I agree with what everyone said. I didn't think about Anna either. I assumed Hangman right alongside you, Mr. Schlong. But I think you're right in that there's a way to maybe like have some sort of dual comeback. Like, maybe Anna can't handle these gentlemen on their own. They need the cowboy or whatever. Like, I do like the idea of both of them returning in that way. But did you guys notice how aggressive Alex Reynolds was during the segment?
I did.
He was hot under the collar, and I'm sitting here thinking, if I'm Leva Bates,
fucking knew it.
And I have Peter Avalon coming to my door with cue cards in the hallway.
In fairness, he didn't come to her door with cue cards.
Okay, Sammy Guevara did, but you know what? When they made up and bring your own, he went and he cleaned up the cue cards that got dropped. So that's a lovely gentlemanly thing to do, a mild mannered, a well tempered gentleman thing to do. I'm just saying, look at your life. Look at your choices, Leva, and like,
yeah, Leva,
just, you know, do you want this guy who's just going to fly off the handle when the slightest thing goes wrong in life? Or are you going to choose this pretty man with a heart-shaped bed and a heart of gold in that heart-shaped bed who's here for you and loves you? So I just hope that she thinks this through. That's all I'm going to say.
Ryan, can I point something out real quick? Do you you realize what's going on right now, right?
No, you please explain it to me. I think everyone should.
Kate is just trying to cut a monologue so that she can do another social video that is just her going off on Peter Avalon or something else so that we can showcase Kate's monologue.
No,
listen, bro. If it works, it helps us out. I will say I laughed my ass off when she's like, are you going to go back and pick up the cue cards? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why that got me.
So I want to call it two things, though, because I think, didn't they say on Dark this week, was it Alex Reynolds recently had a baby?
Oh, did he?
Didn't they say somebody had a baby? I thought on Dark. Maybe it was Alex. Maybe it was somebody else. But I have to go back and check, because if they said it was Alex, I was like, oh, man, that pulls me out of BTE so hard.
I don't know, but congratulations to him if that's true.
We'll go back. We'll confirm that. Or I'll apologize next week for getting it wrong. But oh no, I won't be here. Fuck you guys. But here's my only other thing about, so I like the Anna Jay thing. And I like the idea of maybe her and Hangman, or Hangman bringing her back. But my guess is that Anna Jay is going to make her return in the Women's Battle Royal. So I think Anna Jay would have to come back first and then pull. She maybe is the one to pull Hangman back in. Go ahead, Ryan. I see you.
No, I'm that's me agreeing. I love that way you're going.
I think that's maybe how they kind of pull him back in. But that's, you know, we'll see what happens. I think maybe she's a surprise entrant, not maybe the wild card, but maybe she is making her return in the Women's Battle Royal. That's my thought. That is my hypothesis. But we'll see what happens. Either way, have your Kleenex ready whenever you see the Dark Order, because there's a lot of issues in that family right now. So, guys, we go to commercial and we get back. They do a recap of CM Punk's return on Friday night, and then Tony Schiavone is in the ring to introduce and interview CM Punk. And when CM Punk makes his entrance, he's asked to name one thing that brought him back. And, you know, the crowd is yelling a few different things out. Clearly somebody says Darby and he hears it because he's looking to try to see who's saying it. But he does go on. CM Punk goes on to tell Tony that he can't hear him over the roar of the crowd. He answers, Penta, El Zero, Phoenix, Brian Pillman Jr., Jungle Boy. But before all those names, there's one guy. He's going to go ahead and retire the nickname, the Voice of the Voiceless, because this place has a voice and there's people in the back that actually listen. You know why he's here. He watches Darby Allin. He's reckless to a point of destruction. And he sits back and looks at all the young talent and asks, can CM Punk still go? Does CM Punk still have what it takes? Can CM Punk still be the best in the world? And that answer is yes. And it starts with Darby Allin, somebody who would have been his favorite wrestler if he were 15. He says he sees himself somebody that doesn't fit the mold of what a professional wrestler is. He's not the biggest or the strongest, but God damn it, he's got heart. And if he's going to answer those questions to himself, and then the crowd starts chanting, yes, yes, to which CM Punk points out, that's somebody else's shtick. We might just have to wait be a little patient on that one. But right now, to answer the questions, it comes down to All Out on September 5th. He says hi to his wife, AJ, or I'm sorry, not AJ. What's her real shoot name? Ashley?
April.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. He says hello to April sitting at home, tells her he loves her, blows a kiss into the camera. And that is the CM Punk segment of the night. All right, I want to do Kate first because I'm going to try to reel her in after 5 minutes. So Kate, I just want to say a couple things here and get your take here. I'm sure that you, like me, thought it was so awesome for him to throw out all of the young talent names he did, because that is such a huge thing to do from somebody who is of his caliber. And again, we all make jokes like he's a nobody, whatever, he's coming back, who cares, but we know what he carries. So that's a huge deal. I thought that's awesome. Also, he clearly loves playing the troll here, right? Like, he knows what's being said out there, as much as in the past he'd kind of play coy with a lot of stuff and never comment on stuff. This whole way he's been trolling and playing along, and he's clearly still doing that, and I think that's awesome. So I'm sure you feel that way about those two things, but why don't you tell me how you felt about this interview segment?
This is going to surprise you, but I loved everything about it. Truly, I loved first thing he does when he gets in the ring, right? I can't hear you, Tony. Like, just a nod to this crowd immediately off the bat. the young talent thing, the first thing he said in this company was, wow, you sure know how to make a kid feel like Britt Baker in Britsburg. And he talked about that in the media scrum about how that's important to like put young talent's name in your mouth when you come in carrying what you carry. And he did it again here. Like, why did I come back? All of this young talent. And then he goes on to create a feud out of basically nothing. I loved this. He basically made it sound like Darby Allin is the test of whether CM Punk can still go. Like, just put him over as like, you would be my favorite dude if I was a kid. And now as an adult, you're the gatekeeper for me. You are the test to see if I can even still be a wrestler. Like, that's how important you are to this company, to this industry. Just immediately made it feel like such a big deal. I loved that. So I just, after following up his debut by saying the thing about the most dangerous thing you can do, the only thing more dangerous you could do than wrestle CM Punk is wrestle CM Punk in Chicago, he immediately throws it back the other way of saying, like, you're the guy I have to beat to prove that I can even still do this. It felt immediately important and was so cool. I don't know. That was a very organic moment with the yes chance. I don't know if he was planning on confirming it in a different way or if he just took that moment, but my new boss before Punk debuted said that he felt like Punk was at a 7 and that Daniel Bryan was a 9 as far as like certainty that they were confirmed. So I absolutely love him doing the Daniel Bryan troll there. It seems like it's definitely coming. Like, that feels very real. And the thing about saying hi to his wife, that actually felt like the bigger troll to me, because I think Daniel Bryan is coming, but to say my wife who's watching at home, like, I think that maybe raised a couple more eyebrows than anything, because it was like an intentional throwaway line, if that makes sense. Like, he certainly intentionally doubled back on it, but he kind of just threw it in the end. So I really loved this. I loved the way that he put over Darby as being the biggest deal to see if he can still go. I love that he named the young talent. I love that he made the crowd seem just as hot as the other day by saying he couldn't hear Tony Schiavone. And it was nice to see Tony Schiavone get to do an interview where he didn't get just called an asshole and the microphone ripped out of his hand. Nice guy, CM Punk. Appreciate you respecting Tony Schiavone for once. So, and again, and we'll talk about with the segment after this too. This was not a long promo. This was very short and incredibly efficient. Like, I felt like it was very effective in making you immediately feel like him versus Darby is a big deal. Putting over young talent, all of those things, basically confirming Daniel Bryan. He also put on his Instagram story a picture of them shaking hands from ROH. So he's just going to keep that train rolling. He loves doing that shit, which is great. So yeah, kudos to having like a 3-minute segment that just did everything that it needed to do and popped the crowd like crazy.
Yeah, that segment was definitely shorter than your take on it. So thanks for keeping it a brief 20. Schlong.
Combined, my CM Punk content, way under time from what I think your expectations should have been. Way under.
Schlong.
Okay, I was waiting to make sure there's...
Yeah, I know.
I really like this, obviously. Like you guys said it, naming all the young people instantly puts them over. To say that Darby is this challenge, Kate said it also. I don't want to like reiterate the same points. I loved every bit of it. He sounds so natural. It's something that I wasn't watching back then. I mean, I've gone back and watched now, but my favorite promo style is the guy who sounds like he's just talking to you rather than obviously every now and again, a heated promo where they get louder or more aggressive works because it's supposed to be like someone getting mad, but he just sounds so natural. It's perfect. I'm going to pose a question to you too, because it fits into this promo. And now I said it to Kate earlier and I said, he's going to beat Darby. Right. And that's not a problem, right? Like, I'm okay with it. I just want to make sure everyone's feeling the same way. Like, he can't come in and lose to Darby. It just wouldn't make sense, but that still doesn't hurt Darby in any way.
I think the bigger thing is he's going to beat Darby. Will it be like a handshake and it's done? Or is this going to open up a longer feud? Is it going to involve Sting at some point? Like, but I think the booking is like, you got CM Punk in Chicago and it's his first match. He's got to go over here.
Yeah, there's no way he's losing this match. If he does, I'd be shocked. I'd be absolutely shocked because of all the stuff they're potentially lighting up on you know, his plate and all the things that he said he wants to do. So it would be surprising if he lost this match. I don't think that's going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see how they get there. Like, is he going to beat Darby super clean? Is it going to be something quick? Is he going to, you know, turn something on him? Is it going to be a pin? Is it going to be a submission? You know, like, what are we going to do here? It'll be interesting to see how they get to the end. I don't think it hurts Darby. I think this elevates Darby. Just like when Darby fought...
Cody.
Oh, I'm sorry, say again?
Cody.
Cody, yeah. For some reason, I thought it was... I thought it was Kenny, but yeah, with Cody. You know, it just pushed him up, right? Even when Darby lost some of these early matches, some of his early matches to the bigger talent, he kept going up and up and up and over and over. So I don't think it hurts him. It's just going to make his stock, you know, rise even higher. So we'll
see. One quick point real quick.
Yeah.
I just because I was looking this up while you guys were talking, the video of CM Punk is talking tonight is on, it's been up for 2 hours on AEW's YouTube channel, already at 175,000 views.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's going to, listen, he's clearly owned the sheets for the last week, you know, not even week now. It's been less than a week, but he's owned it, you know, with everything. You know, if you're in any of the apps, like I have the Bleacher Report app because like they just said, like, hey, we're doing away with BR Live. So you got to sync up your shit so you can see all the purchases. So like I did that and I'm just getting nonstop, you know, notifications from AEW news and it's all CM Punk stuff right now. So like they're going to ride this wave for, you know, for as long as they can. And they're not going to slow down. We'll talk about it later, but they're not going to slow down with the acquisitions. They're going to continue, I think, to ride this news cycle.
Yeah. And Daniel Bryan is trending just from him saying that. And like, who? Basically Bryan Danielson.
Thanks.
I mean, Daniel Bryan's the thing that's trending, but yeah, like, so yeah, I mean, it's just, if he just wants to go create lightning in a bottle every week, that rules. I also, that line about retiring the voice of the voiceless thing, like what a perfect baby face line. Like, I loved that of, I don't need to be your, you guys have a voice here, is like such a perfect, like, turn of the screws. I loved it.
And listen, they're going to easily be able to use this at some point to turn him heel. Like, that is going to be the thing that at some point is going to happen. He's a good heel. He's a good baby face. He's good all around. So like at some point, I think it's easy to think like when they turn him heel, it's easy enough to be able to say, you know, just say that you're the guy who put us on the map. And, you know, use that as your cocky asshole shit heel thing to do, right? I'm the reason people are watching. So who are you? And he'll play the heel card. I mean, it's perfect. Matt, we're talking CM Punk and his promo tonight, you know, all the things like dropping young talent's names and, you know, trolling the Bryan Danielson rumors. What did you think about his promo?
I thought it was, I mean, he put over fucking six people in 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right.
It still doesn't feel real, you know? Like, I think Schlong tweeted it out too. Like, it's just, it doesn't feel real. You know, the impact he had on the industry before he left, and he was gone for so long, and now he's back, and here he is. He's talking, you mentioned Jungle Boy and Penta. You know, the little Bryan Danielson thing. You know, I tweeted out, like, you know, you and, you know, CM Punk thinks he's like Darby, but I don't think he's into doo-doo art. but I thought it was fantastic. I'm super excited about this. To Kate's point, when she was on the Monday Night Show with us, it's going to be an easy sell job. They're going to ramp, and they don't need to ramp this up. Like, people, that's it. Punk just did it tonight. I would have been a fan of him. 15-year-old Punk would have been a fan of him. He does crazy shit. Let's get crazy. Let's go nuts. He breaks into his Prince song. It's fantastic.
Well, there's for a short build to All Out. They're doing a fantastic job so far. We've got another week to go, so let's see what continues to happen in this back and forth. Yes, man.
And if I can say, you put it in the Discord today. Like, fucking, here we have a moment. Tony Schiavone, lifer in the wrestling industry, gone for 20 fucking years, gets pulled back in with Conrad Thompson, and they try to do exactly what they were doing with Bruce Prichard. It fails miserably, and they fucking pivot into Tony Schiavone doing watch-alongs, and it gets him back into the wrestling industry and reignites his love. He's standing in the middle of the ring interviewing somebody who lost their love for wrestling, and AEW reignited it with it. They reignited it. It was just, it's a fucking beautiful moment, and it's one of the reasons why I love pro wrestling.
It's been great all around so far. Let's keep riding that wave. Continuing on with the show, we get a Miro promo where he forgives Fuego del Sol and promises to find Eddie Kingston, drag him to the river, and hold him under. God will back Miro because he is the Redeemer, and his wife will love him because he's the champion, and he asks to bring him the Mad King. Kate, you're an Eddie Kingston mark. Are you worried about what's in store for the Mad King?
Well, first of all, I just want to say with this promo, this and the Punk one back to back felt like masterclass to me. They're two totally different style promos. They were like combined like 7 minutes long, and they were both wildly effective. Like, this was professional wrestlers laying in great promos. I loved both of these. I'm not worried about what's going to happen with Eddie Kingston, because I think, I mean, my heart has wanted him to go over Miro at Arthur Ashe. And just additionally, I wanted Miro to meet someone that's kind of at his level. And I think maybe we're going to get a feud with Eddie Kingston, however that shakes out. I don't think it's going to be a one and done deal. I think maybe we get a couple matches out of this, because win or lose, I think you want Eddie in a title picture at Arthur Ashe. Like, that moment's just going to be absolutely insane. I think, I hope he goes over there. But like, the thing that's most exciting to me as an Eddie mark and loving what Miro's doing is that maybe this isn't like Miro just eats somebody up. Like, this might be a multi-match thing. Miro's doing such great work. Eddie's lightning on the mic too, obviously. So just, I think, the idea that we might get something like a little more sustainable to sink our teeth into, I think, is going to be awesome.
Matt, you were making some faces there. What do you have to say about this?
Eddie Kingston does not need a championship. Eddie Kingston will not win a championship. Eddie Kingston is not a wrestler. He is a fighter. He loses at wrestling matches. He'll be over as fuck. But when Miro straps in, whatever the fuck he's calling it now,
game over.
Still the game over. We're still playing video games. When he straps in the game over, the Mad King's going to either tap or pass out from the pain. Because Eddie Kingston is a tough guy, but he's not a wrestler. He's a fighter. Fighters lose wrestling matches.
He passed out because of the traumatic pyro at the end.
I mean, you would too.
This is a rare case where I think, because you're right, Eddie Kingston does not need a title. He doesn't need wins. Like, that's a special breed of dude. I think they might book, and they don't do this, WWE does it all the time, and I fucking hate it. They might book the moment at Arthur Ashe. But they might have him win and then turn around and drop it to a younger talent, because then Miro is still protected, but you're putting the title on a younger, on a Jungle Boy, on a Sammy Guevara, whoever. Like, I think you can have Eddie turn around and lose it and it not matter that much, because I think there's never going to be a time that feels right for Miro to lose it.
Yeah, but we want to book a moment for Eddie Kingston. We want to book a moment for Santana and Ortiz at Arthur Ashe. The rumblings are Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson is making his appearance at Arthur Ashe. Like, I don't want that WWE bullshit. Everyone needs a WrestleMania moment. No.
I want Proud and Powerful to have a long ass reign. because I think they've earned it and they're going to be sustainable champions for months. I think Eddie could be a great place to pivot the title to somebody that's younger. So I don't like booking moments either. In this case, I think it works because I don't think you want someone younger than Miro to damage him. But I think Eddie can turn around and drop the title to someone a little bit younger. And Miro is so made. I don't think he needs the title necessarily right now either. So that's the only moment I would want to book. Proud and Powerful, I want them to have those titles for like a fucking year. All day. Let's go.
Shlong, what do you have to say about Miro?
I love what Miro is doing right now. I was muting myself so I didn't laugh when you threw the cat. You know, I didn't want to ruin the podcast because you're throwing cats all over the place.
Oh, that's what's going to ruin the podcast.
I love this version of Miro. I love it's not quite over the top, but it's just there, which I think is a really fun place to be. I don't see Eddie Kingston beating him for the title. I just can't see it. I actually think Miro needs the title right now, and not that he's not good. It's just he brought a special belt. He's made everything about that. I think to lose the title to Eddie would kill a lot of momentum for Miro. I think he has to either lose it to someone young so that he can go insane, or he has to hold it for a while longer so that he can continue to just be this dominant force in that division. It took him a while to get here, but this has been the best version of Miro I've seen in a long, long time. And now that I'm not talking again, I'm going to mute my mic.
You kind of answered the question, but I also did think like what's next for Miro if Eddie Kingston doesn't take the title off of him? Is it like, who do you guys think is next in that situation?
Kip. It's gotta be Kip. They're still not really settled that feud. Like, he put him on the shelf, but that didn't really settle anything. So I think at some point Kip's got to come back. Maybe Kip's the one who cost him the title. And then, you know, we have a built-in feud, but we've also kind of, now he's in a blood feud because Kip cost him, you know, his belt. So that's what I think. It's just the story's there, but that's just me.
That's fair. I just don't know who he eventually drops to then.
Eddie with the help of Kip.
Okay. Eddie.
I see a lot of people thinking. Somebody say something.
I was watching Kate do her little dance because she was happy that you said Eddie. When you kind of just gifted her Eddie, it didn't really matter who it was because it's really Kip's the story. I also love that. I think Kip is going to be a better babyface than he was a heel. I watched some of his stuff on like he does gaming and stuff. I think he's a lot more charisma in that direction than he did the heel side. But I still don't think it's Eddie. I think it'd be someone younger who they plan to reign with more than they would give it to Eddie.
Matt, any thoughts?
I don't know. I have to see where you know. There's so much, as I like to say, so many spoons in the porridge here. I'd like to see what happened. Like, is he going to defend the title at All Out? They haven't announced a match yet. You know, Kip in the Fuego del Sol gear.
Ooh. He would definitely rock. He'd rock that better than Fuego. He's definitely better wrestler than Fuego. We know that.
That would be fucking cool.
What about this? What if Miro has an open challenge at Arthur Ashe and a debuting Daniel Bryan comes in and takes it off of him?
I think that's the wrong thing to do. He doesn't need the belt.
Okay, fair.
And they haven't done that. They haven't done that necessarily with anybody. Like, they haven't bought somebody in and immediately on night one put him in, you know, like the spot, or put him in the, you know, given somebody the belt. Like, Christian by far, I think, was the quickest person to come in and get him into something and give him some sort of belt. Like, I don't think Christian's winning it All Out, but he took the TNA, the Impact title from Kenny. So maybe that's as far as it goes. But I would think personally that's the wrong way to go about it. I'm sure a lot of people would be happy, but I just don't think that's the way to do it.
Possibility.
We will have to wait and see.
Yeah, we will see. But we go to break and come back, and we are getting into Darby Allin, Eddie Kingston, and John Moxley versus the Wingmen. Cesar Bononi, JD Drake, and Ryan Nemeth, PPA all day, is at ringside, as well as Sting. And thank you. So guys, a lot of stuff going on here. Kate's two big, you know, burly men are getting into it with each other. We had, you know, PPA almost attacked by Eddie at the start. Then Eddie does eventually attack Pretty Peter Avalon. So Kate's heart is torn. Eventually, as we get through this match, Darby Allin, Eddie Kingston, and John Moxley win by pinfall with a coffin drop on JD Drake, who is just doing a fantastic job of rocking the shirt, suspenders, and pants. And then post-match, as Darby's in the ring by himself getting his arm raised, the Red Death, Daniel Garcia, comes in, gets some cheat shots on Darby, beats him down briefly before everybody else helps to make the save, and he eventually gets run off. Some interesting stuff here. Daniel Garcia is still injecting himself into some of these stories, so they clearly feel good about Daniel Garcia. Darby's looking good going into All Out. I thought the match was a lot of fun. Schlong, what did you think about this first trios match of the night?
I thought this was a lot of fun. I think it was a great match in the sense you got, you know, Mox out there and Eddie out there and Darby, who are all huge stars in the company. So on a night that, you know, a lot of people be watching, you got some of your biggest stars out there, and Eddie got some nice fun chants. And then you put your other stars, the Wingmen, out there, and everybody loves the Wingmen. Clearly, they put Pretty Peter on the outside just so he could have that moment with Sting. They knew that his reaction would be perfect. I'm loving JD Drake really going with the Big Bubba stuff. I think that's just love that gear. He's worn it on Dark a couple times. It's been my favorite thing he's done. Between him and then you have Eddie and Mox, it's just three guys I would fully expect to see at a bar kicking everyone's ass in it. It's just they all look that way. It's perfect. So I really like the match. I the Wingmen are awesome out of the ring, but they all have grown on me in the ring as well. I just think it's Ryan Nemeth, who I was not sure if I was going to like when he started out because I wasn't sure what he was about, has really become fun to watch just because he's ridiculous and he knows he is. And that's, I like people who know what they are and act accordingly. So his dancing around and just being insane really worked. And then, of course, you know, you have Cesar, who, again, don't think he's the greatest in the ring, but he has grown on me too, because he's at least starting to be look like he knows how to use his power. I don't know if it's there or not, but he's playing it up more, and I really like that. And then JD Drake's just amazing.
Matt, what did you think about the trios match?
I thought it was a lot of fun. It put Darby over. Darby got the pin, so that helps in the build up to the match with Punk. They put over, he was what, like 10-2 in his last 12 matches and 20-2 overall. Love JD Drake. You know, I hope he gets the gig at AEW, and I hope they keep using him because he's a super talented dude. I said it looks like Big Bubba Rogers and The Wall had a love child. But it was a lot of fun. And I think the stuff afterwards, the Daniel Garcia stuff, like, look, Daniel Garcia Mox was kind of like, you kind of knew what it was going to be. But, like, Daniel Garcia Darby, he's going to really get to show why AEW is constantly using him and putting him in these spots. That's Daniel Garcia, not Darby. We already know what Darby can do. So I'm excited for it. So it was a happy moment. Happy, happy, happy.
Kate, were you okay through this match with your boys wrestling with each other?
My heart was in a great deal of pain when Eddie attacked my other lover, Peter Avalon.
Kate, how many?
I really
do you have more podcasts or more lovers?
It's tough.
She's in a she wants to see how many she can get of each. She's in a competition.
Depends on the week, you know what I mean, man?
She has enough holes.
Either way, I'm hustling out here, you know what I mean? So
call whatever you need to call it, kid. I don't know if it's healthy.
I don't know if it's healthy on either end, to be honest. I really liked this match. I want trios titles. I think we're getting them. I think Rampage is going to have that, but this made me really like them because they're such a fun way to have like established trios, or you can kind of just throw people together if they're not doing a ton and it doesn't super matter. This was great. I didn't need like the gang wars at the end. I felt like that was a little much. You could have just let Darby have this moment and got away with it. But I really like Daniel Garcia. I can't get over the fact that he's like 22 years old, but I thought this was perfectly fine. Not a lot of stakes here. Wild Thing always pops me. I love hearing it. But this was fine. This was a very fun match that was pretty benign, pretty harmless.
Kate, as you get older, the wrestlers will continue to get younger.
And, just like McConaughey said in Dazed and Confused.
They stay the same. Also, I thought JD Drake was kind of the star of this outside of Darby. Like, he takes some fucking bumps, man. He gets his ass kicked and he eats all of it. So I just wanted to say that I thought JD Drake was a standout in this.
Well, Kate, either way, when it comes to your lovers and the multiple podcasts you're going on, just don't catch anything because we know you're not going to wrap it up.
Wear a mask, wear a condom.
Well, you said you're not doing either. So, Tay Conti gets interviewed backstage. And before she can answer any question, the bunny rolls up to ask why she's still hanging out with the losers in the Dark Order who can't get along with each other. And she actually offers Tay Conti an HFO contract, claiming they could work together like a real family. And Tay tears that contract up. Bunny slaps her pretty well in the face. And then the brawl breaks out until the referees separate them. So we see a little bit of an issue here being built between the Bunny and Tay Conti. I'm all for it because I think the Bunny's been getting better and better every time we've seen her in the ring, and we know Tay Conti can go. So maybe they're trying to get Tay Conti involved in a little bit of a story here. So Kate, do you like what's going on here? Do we think they're trying to build multiple stories here?
Guys, considering it was a really bad match on the women's side, two times today, they tried. I was so excited. I don't know what Bunny's ears were. They looked more like giant leaves that you would get at like a Michael's, but I was very excited and very happy that after just months of being a miserable bitch on this podcast, I got to be very excited about the fact that they are telling two women's stories, or at least giving a shit about it. That was really great. So it's like you have an A storyline and a B storyline, both on Dynamite. And I love Tay. She's just so much fun. This wasn't even like that great from her. She basically was just like, hey, no, fuck you, I'm not going to join. But I was just so excited to see her on my screen because she's contagiously fun. And they made her a star and then pushed her off a cliff. So get her back on my screen. I'm for this.
Well, we'll see it this week. They're going to get a match on Rampage. Tay Conti versus the Bunny. So stay tuned for that. When we get back from a commercial here, we get FTR in a video package focusing on Cash Wheeler's injured arm. They will not stop showing that goddamn injury.
Stop showing the injury. Oh,
did you see
God.
His tweet?
No, I didn't.
Cash put the pictures in a tweet.
Oh, Cash, no.
Well, the angle they're playing here is that Cash's arm, he's experiencing some nerve damage and his hand isn't really working out the same way, but that's not going to stop him from getting their pound of flesh. So they're going to get Santana and Ortiz next week on Dynamite. We get Kenny Omega in the ring with Don Callis, who's wearing a high fashion hot pink suit. And Callis says that they're going to take Christian Cage out once and for all. And that's when Christian makes his way to the ring. He throws it to the video that's been going around, where it shows that Don Callis has kind of been undercutting Christian since he pretty much started in the industry. And he calls him a carny piece of shit, trying to replace Christian with a 10-year-old Kenny Omega way back in the 90s. And Kenny says nothing's changed, Don. says that favoring family over talent makes him just like Bill Watts, Eddie Graham, Vince McMahon, and Vern Gagne. But Kenny Omega isn't Eric Watts or Greg Gagne. He's Kenny by God Omega. And Cage says he doesn't know what's weirder, that Don manipulated a 10-year-old Kenny, or that it's still, he's still letting Don do it to him as an adult. And then Callis asks everybody to hold his scarf, which I got really worried about, because that means Don means business. And he says he's going to make that it's all making him very upset. And what Christian is going to find out it all out is when he stands next to Kenny, is what he's going to find out he's what he's always been his entire career, second best. And then a brawl breaks out. Brandon Cutler uses the spray and everybody starts to jump in until Frankie Kazarian makes the save. And now we cut to something else. So, you know, we're clearly building to this all out match. Matt, do you like the storyline of this Christian being undercut by a 10-year-old Kenny Omega? Like, is this working for you? Is this adding anything to this title match?
Is it adding to the match? No, I think it's Don Callis being a douche. And I really enjoy that. I think he's really fucking good at being a douchebag. I don't care about the 10-year-old Kenny Omega. That seems a bit ridiculous that Don Callis would try and book a child on a wrestling show instead of Christian. But I like what Don Callis is doing. He's really coming off as a douchebag. I think that the prospect of Kenny and Christian, the bit that we got to see at Rampage, was enough for me personally. And I'm excited for the match at All Out.
Schlong, anything here from you?
The only thing that's weird about, I can tell that they're putting the joking about, that they know they're joking about the 10-year-old thing. Like they're making it obvious, but it just feels a little groomy to me. Do we have to look into Don Callis that, you know, he's looking at 10-year-old boys that way? Definitely. It feels a little weird.
Definitely look into him. It's the wrestling business. It's full of fucking petter asses and scumbags. So.
So I'm saying we should be a little concerned here, guys.
He is Canadian though, so they do it different up there. He could just be like a father figure. That's it. No ugliness attached to it.
That's right. He could be a father figure.
Carnies, figure. You guys. I tweeted this. If you don't pop when somebody calls someone a shitty carny, just turn wrestling off. That's the funniest shit in the world. Put it on a t-shirt immediately. I will buy 17 of them along with 100 CM Punk shirts. You guys said everything you need to say. The only thing you didn't mention that I loved was when Christian was like, sorry, what? I fell asleep. I don't care about that. Like I loved that moment because it kind of feels out of place for Christian a little bit when he just completely was like, you guys could learn something from that. Like when I'm just spinning my wheels, like just I'm not even going to give you the satisfaction thing is so powerful and fun when you have people that are just like bombastic and stupid. So I just loved that he was like, I fell asleep standing up. I don't know what the hell you were talking about. Like what a fun little thing to add into that promo. But you guys said the rest. That was great.
I also enjoyed Kenny Omega's you think you know me?
Yeah.
That was great.
Very funny. Yeah. Very funny stuff.
So guys, we get a backstage promo from John Moxley. Matt, I'm going to come to you first here. He says he got a FedEx from Tokyo today. One contract. Only one guy had the balls to chase the boogeyman of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that's Kojima Satoshi. And that's a real treat for the fans to see a legend in New Japan and All Japan. And this crazy old man wants to step in the ring with him. Looks like he's got a death wish. And he wants to go out in a blaze of glory. So once the bell rings, he's got no respect for Kojima. And every time he squeezes his throat, he's trying to make you eat through a straw the rest of your life. And on September 5th, Moxley is going to be the public execution of the legend Satoshi Kojima. This is murder promo 3, actually, on the night. We forgot. Miro vowed to kill somebody. Matt?
Yes.
Does this match do anything for you as our resident New Japan expert?
Yes. It does for me. The reports early last week were that they were not sending Tanahashi. It wasn't happening. It just they couldn't agree on it. And maybe it's just the timing. Maybe they're going to hold Tani off until full gear. But Kojima is a fucking legend in the world of professional wrestling. A former MLW world champion, former NWA world champion, two-time IWGP world heavyweight champion, seven times IWGP tag team champion. And he's been a never openweight six-man champion with Matt Sydal, Ricochet. He's a legend. And do you want to put another giant match? I get the idea of the pay-per-views. It's all big matches, but like, at what point do we build up our expectations and have one of them fall flat? Like, Moxley Kojima is going to be a fucking war, and I think it'll be a great match on a stacked card. And I think this is a safe play for them. If you can't get Tanahashi, Kojima's kind of going to ride out on his shield because he's, you know, kind of towards the end of his career. But homeboy can go. Cozy Lariat is no joke. He's going to put his breathe right on. He's going to fuck shit up. I think it's going to be a fucking awesome match.
And Matt, for people who aren't interested, is there anything off the top of your head? I know I'm putting you on the spot, that you would suggest people check out for Kojima?
I mean, when he won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, his 2010 run where he won the G1 Climax is pretty good stuff. His MLW stuff is good. What did he work recently? He was in Impact like a couple months ago. Wrestling Eddie Edwards, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know all those stats off the top of your head?
Some of them, yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you knew them all. Eddie Edwards, great feud.
Yeah, Impact Eddie Edwards, yes, I knew off the top of my head. Two-time IWGP world champion, yes. 10 Cozy, yes. Six-man, no. Didn't know the six-man.
Okay. Knew
he won the G1. Kate, I poop a lot, not in my pants, contrary to popular belief.
I mean, also in your pants.
But I have not shit my pants in a very, 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 very long time. Okay?
That means you're due.
No, don't put the
only
fucking...
for boys is that an accomplishment?
Don't put the maloik on me, all right? But I read a lot of wrestling just nonsense. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the history of the professional wrestling.
It's one of your many charms.
Because there's very, especially the New Japan stuff, because I don't know a lot about the New Japan, so... Like, there's that weird thing where Great Muda blows mist in a girl's vagina, and then she gives birth to an egg, and it's Akibono.
Interesting. And this is why Matt, this is, by the way, why Matt is our New Japan
and I don't even,
expert.
To be fair, I don't think that happened in New Japan. That might have been a DDT.
I think that was a different promotion because somebody else told me about it.
Yeah, I think that was DDT, and that's where Kenny Omega wrestled the blow-up doll, and Ibushi is doing weird shit over there, too.
But still, the ties are to New Japan. That's why you're our expert. If we can't have the real expert of the Shining Wizards as part of our show for New Japan, which unfortunately is on Monday nights, that's Tony, we'll take you. Second best is our best.
Unbelievable, this guy.
So, guys, we go on to our second trios match of the night.
Hold on. Were you guys excited about Kojima? Do you even give a shit?
I think it's great. I kind of wish it was Tanahashi, but, like, I'm just excited. Kind of like what you said, that it's something different that's on the card, like that this is, like, a Forbidden Door-ish thing. This is going to be something that feels different than everything else there. It's a completely different type of feud. I just feel bad because New Japan's gotten so riddled with COVID and injuries. Like, this has been a tough out of the gate. Like, I think they probably would like for it to be Tanahashi maybe too. But I'm looking forward to this. I don't know a ton about him, so I'm excited to learn because I always love to learn more.
So, guys, we move on to the Gun Club, Matt's favorites, versus the Factory. God.
I mean, I get it's weekly TV show, but do we really?
Well, listen, we're building here to Paul White because he's on commentary against QT Marshall at All Out. So
I watched who?
Paul White.
Yeah, who was the?
Oh, excuse me, QT Marshall. QT Marshall. I forgot Shida and QT Marshall. My apologies, I'm slipping.
Someone's on vacation.
You need a week off.
I do need a week off. You know, the match was what it was. The Gun Club wins by pinfall. Small package from Colton Gunn on QT Marshall.
What was that?
Where did that come from?
What was that? Who was that?
That was Kate.
That was my mouth making a sound. I was blowing a raspberry because this was dumb and boring and small packages suck.
It was too subtle, Kate. We actually thought something may have happened.
No, I did not fart, but thank you for complimenting my voiceover skills, but I was just blowing a raspberry.
Two hours and 25 minutes. Be sure to isolate Kate saying small packages suck.
The key here is that Paul White caused a distraction on QT Marshall, right? So now I guess he's in his head a little bit. Whatever. We're building to this match at All Out. This was just to do that. The match was what it was.
You're going to isolate small packages suck, and you're going to drop it right in there with me yelling that I'm going to fuck Peter Avalon. This is my hell that I've created.
I appreciate myself. You repeating that, and I appreciate everybody being quiet, so now we know I don't have to go through past episodes. I can just pull it all from this one.
Yeah. This is the one, Matt.
Oh, no.
I am the one. It's cool to see Billy Gunn on TV in 2021. It's also cool to, you know, shoot a firework out of your vagina. Doesn't mean I want to do it or see it, so.
Wow. My goodness. Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, this match was what it was. It's just a means to an end for Paul White and QT Marshall. I don't necessarily have anything to call out about this match. It was what it was.
You're not excited for Paul White and fucking
QT Marshall? What matches?
QT Marshall.
It's also cool to shoot a firework out of your vagina was what you just equated to Billy Gunn being on television. Oh my gosh.
Doesn't mean I want to see it.
It's fair. It's fair.
No, I'm interested in seeing what Paul White looks like in the ring, but like I didn't need this match to do anything for that. You know what I mean? Like,
I bet you he looks like a really big dude. He's probably wearing his singlet.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right.
What do I win?
If any...
Jesus Christ.
Schlong,
I win Kate. Jesus Christ? Holy moly, what am I going to do with your Lord and Savior?
Oh, God. I don't know why. It was so funny and then I can't stop laughing. But I can't stop laughing at it.
Kate's cry laughing and she's gone.
I'll talk since she's cry laughing.
Please do.
clearly this was to get Paul White on TV as another person that people are familiar with for all the new people tuning in to be like, hey, I know who that is. While this match wasn't something I really cared about, I do like the fact, and I hope they do this a lot now with Rampage, where they put maybe bigger stars on Rampage one week and then Dynamite the other, but they do have to continue to build other guys to keep the roster strong. Do I think this is the best matchup? No, but I guess I kind of want to see where Nick Camarado goes. I think there's a lot of potential in him. So seeing him on TV is fun. It's like seeing a firework out of a vagina. But I also...
Why would you repeat it? How am I going to get through the rest of my life?
You should Google it.
No.
I'm good on that one. Also, I say this every time. I always forget how big Billy Gunn really is. He's a big dude. I think,
yeah,
you know,
big ass man.
I'm done with that. All right, we're good. Move on to Kate.
No. We're just going to move on. So after this match, we get a Dan Lambert promo, and I'm not going to go through everything goddamn Dan Lambert said here, but he is with the Men of the Year, which to those of you who might not know is Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. I mean, he says all this sort of shit about creating a team, and then he goes into some anti-woke thing. Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page don't say anything. And they can talk. Like, what, Kate, I'm going to go to you because we've done this now 2 weeks in a row. What the fuck is going on?
I don't even think Dan Lambert's like bad on the mic. Ethan Page is better than like 90% of the industry at this. Why are you giving a mouthpiece to two people that don't need a mouthpiece? Like, Scorpio Sky is really great too. Ethan Page is fantastic. I don't get it. And I don't understand how Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page also fit in with these MMA people. Cause Ethan Page was Karate Man. Like, I don't understand. I don't like this at all. Mostly because of it. It just feels wildly misassigned. Like, I don't hate Lambert. I think maybe pairing him with Jake Hager might've made more sense or something. This just feels very out of left field and bad. I would much rather hear Ethan Page cut his own promos. And it also just doesn't fit with this, like, these fly ass dudes, like having this guy who's anti woke culture cutting their promos. Like, none of this made any sense to me. Lambert's not the worst on the mic, but I just don't understand the alignment here at all. It's kind of mind-boggling how good they are with everything else about this type of stuff, and this just feels so out of place to me.
May I speak?
Yeah.
Scorpio Sky, overly popular. Ethan Page, overly popular. They're heels. You don't want your heels to be cheered. Dan Lambert is your heater. People fucking hate him. He brings up that Scorpio Sky has an MMA karate background. Ethan Page is a karate man, if you know from the Impact pay-per-view. He cuts a hell of a promo, Dan Lambert. I think he's just a heater. I think he's just there so people boo Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page.
But Ethan Page threw Darby Allin down a flight of stairs to make sure he gets booed. Like, he was getting boos.
Maybe they want him to get more boos.
My problem is just, like, I think he's throwing so much stuff out in these promos. Like, at one point, he's talking about anti-woke. Like, he's talking about woke culture, and then he's almost, like, bashing millennials and, like, sheep. And, like, I'm just, like, pick a lane. Like, I wish he would just pick one thread and pull on it instead of like giving us three different things and just like throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. I just trying to figure out like what the end game is here. I don't know.
I think he's just a heater, man. That's it. Like, look, Rick Rude didn't need Bobby the Brain Heenan. Rick Rude could cut a promo, but the Brain was a heater.
And Lambert ain't Bobby the Brain.
I'm not saying he is, but he's a heater. He's just there to fucking make people hate Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
But like, why did he come in with a bunch of MMA guys that, you know what I mean? Like, where's the connection to that? Cause
I think you're just trying to get the rub. Maybe hopefully like, you know, ESPN picks it up, that AEW ad, you know, Arlovsky, who was great like 10 years ago and
keep going.
I forget who else was out there with him.
To be honest, I have no. Was it Dos Santos?
Yeah, I think it was Dos Santos. Like, you're just kind of dusting off a couple of UFC guys who have, passed their prime. I really don't know what the play is. And I think Dan Lambert should probably do a shot before he does his promos so he can get rid of his shakes. It's his fucking hand. His hands are shaking.
Is it those DTs?
I don't know what it is. Maybe. He looks like it.
DDT?
No. Shlong, you got anything you want to say about this Dan Lambert angle?
I'll be honest, I couldn't. He doesn't get that kind of heat for me. It's more just I don't like the that type of heel who's like the anti-woke thing. It just feels too easy, I guess. Like, it's such an open target and just doesn't work for me, but that's a personal preference. It's nothing against him. I thought an easier route for him would have been MMA versus pro wrestling, since seems more natural. And then he's also giving Sky and Ethan Page like MMA style background, so he could be pretending that they're, you know, at that level. I get what Matt's saying, that Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky are so likable and the fans love them, so they're gonna get cheered. But I don't like where that style of heel, the anti-woke heel. It's not that I have any problems. It's just to me, sometimes, you know, like targets are too easy. That's just too easy to me.
We call that cheap heat.
Yes. It's just too, and some cheap heat works for me. This one just doesn't.
Fair enough. Yeah. I just really thought he was going to bring in like Tom Lawler. I know that's like one of his guys, or even that fucking shitbag King Mo.
He can't bring in Tom Lawler. He's got a feud going on for the last 3 years with Von Erichs.
Oh my God. The worst fucking. Fucking hope MLW fucking folds just based on the fact that they couldn't pull this off. Let's do the fucking dumb match somewhere else where there's not a fucking COVID case every 6 feet. Fucking Von Erichs and the fucking Lawler. Team Filthy sucks shit. Fuck.
But at least we got to talk about King Mo for a second there.
I'm just saying, it makes more sense if it's like you brought in, like, to Schlong's point, like an MMA, like Tom Lawler and fucking King Shitbag have a background in MMA. They're legit MMA fighters that have transitioned over into a wrestler and a shitbag. So at least you bring in, you know, the wrestler and the shitbag, and there's a thing there. Like, Scorpio Sky's been on my TV for 2.5 years in AEW, and now you're just going to tell me he has, like, a fucking karate background? What? What is he, fucking Bruce Pritchard? 3-time fucking karate black belt Hall of Famer? Like, what are you just pulling? Great. Yeah.
Our wonderful Berg in the Facebook chat, who always rules, also agrees with us that it's stupid to do this angle, but he also asked, did anybody watch Ethan Page's vlog? I did. It rules. Eddie Kingston talking a bunch of shit about Michael Jordan is amazing. Danhausen's fantastic, and it definitely worth watching this week if you haven't already. I just wanted to put that over.
Love that Danhausen. So guys, they hype up the card for next week, or for Rampage and stuff. We'll talk about the cards at the end. But we go to Arn Anderson, who's being interviewed in front of Brock's dressing room. That's right, folks. Brock has had 6 matches and has his own named dressing room.
That's what I was going to say. This motherfucker, really, with his own dressing room? You little shit.
Nepotism is real, my friends. So Arn says Brock is hard-headed, but he's got guts. And he'd lie down and die for his son. Good doesn't always prevail over evil. He's going to have to dig down into his guts to make it happen. We get Malakai Black make his entrance to the ring. Brock makes his entrance, and now we're into Brock Anderson versus Malakai Black. Brock Anderson quickly out of the gates with a double leg takedown, shows a little bit of offense, but ultimately Malakai Black kicks his face off with the Black Mass, and Malakai Black does get another win here in AEW rather quickly. Post-match, Arn is checking on his son while Malakai goes and gets a chair. He slides it in the ring, but Arn... and then gets in, and Arn blocks the first kick from Malakai Black, but then he gets kicked in the groin.
In the dick.
Punch him in the groin.
There you go. So he gets kicked in the dick, and then gets laid out with the Black Mass. So Arn is taking the Black Mass twice. Somebody should check for CTE on that dude. Lee Johnson comes down to make the save, and Malakai leaves. Lee Johnson is checking on the Andersons, Malakai is now pointing at Lee Johnson from the stage. So we think that's probably his next match in taking down the Nightmare Family, I guess. And that is the end of the show for the night, folks. So another quick showing from Malakai Black. I think it's what everybody wants to see, just him taking heads off, just like Goldberg kicking Bret Hart's head into the fifth row.
How dare you? How rude. How it fucking happened. Rude. The streak was broken when he did that, okay? If you want to say Goldberg beating up Hugh Morris or Jerry Flynn, you may. Do not besmirch the good name of the Hitman. How dare you?
I didn't besmirch the hitman. The hitman got screwed.
The hitman was in no way, shape, or form part of the Goldberg streak where he was just mowing down folks, okay?
King mowing them.
Oh, my gosh. We're just going to really rile Matt up. Schlong, let's go to you first here. What did you think about Malachi and lining up things with Lee Johnson, presumably?
So, first, I want to say that Milwaukee Tom was in the Discord. He pointed out that if you saw it in person, because I think they did some pretty good camera cuts, that Malachi Black really protected Arn on the kick. It was nowhere near his head, which I thought was nice. You know,
he's 100.
What?
He's 100 years old. You can't kick.
Oh, no, I agree. No, I'm.
I would love to go to ShopRite and kick a 100-year-old man in the head for getting in my way, but I don't.
No, but to me, it's a compliment. Like, Malachi Black, professional, they trusted him enough to do it and did exactly as you're supposed to do. You don't kick the 100-year-old man who has neck issues in the head.
Right. You just punch his son in the face a bunch of times.
That's appropriate. I didn't know that was Lee Johnson coming out. I didn't know his music, to be quite honest. And I watched him on Dark. It honestly sounded a little like Ricky Stark's music to me. And I was like, that just doesn't make sense. And then they showed Lee Johnson. I like it though, because obviously Lee Johnson's going to lose quickly, but it's just building Malachi Black as this force. And it clearly targeting.
Sorry.
That wasn't a sound effect from yours truly, just to clarify.
I thought my old man Tony?
I thought my mic was off.
burping.
Sorry, Ryan.
No, I'm dying. Rules. I think that's hilarious. I just like him going through and killing the entire Nightmare family, and Lee Johnson is next. I also like Lee Johnson, even though he's going to get destroyed. I like him getting there's two things here. One, he's been tagging with Brock Anderson, so they have that part of it together. And two, I just like him getting a chance on, I'm assuming he's either going to be on Rampage or Dynamite. I just like that because I think Lee Johnson's been putting in a lot of work, and he's really fun to watch in the ring. I don't know. Again, he needs some promo work, but in the ring, he's awesome. So I like the whole thing. This is what we need. Malachi Black just kicking people's heads off.
Kate, Malachi Black.
Yeah, this is about as cool of a rollout as I can remember of a wrestler, probably up until Punk. I've loved every second since his debut of what he's done. Just really incredible stuff. And what a fun way to build his record and make him a monster, but also get people from the Nightmare family on your television at the same time. Like, just feels like a really great use of both sides of the talent there. And something that Malachi Black has spoken at length about is wanting to be able to help the younger generation coming on up. So seems like they're immediately doing this. And then I think we'll get some sort of resolution with Cody down the line, but this is a great way to make that feel bigger later by just chewing through the rest of the Nightmare family here. So I'm all for this. I will say my dad could be 100. And if I was like, no, dad, I'm going to go out against this guy who thinks he's the devil with amnesia and kicks everybody's face off, my dad would be like, no, you're not. Not like, well, okay. And then if someone went to kick my dad in the head, I guess if I was incapacitated, there would be a ton I could do about it. But like, I don't know. Just seems like there's something going on with that father-son relationship where one of them should be looking out for the other. My goodness.
Matt, what is your take on this second Malachi Black match?
Big fan. Nope. Sorry, I had to make sure.
You make fun of the muting of my mic, but I didn't burp into it, did I?
There it is.
That's what you need to step your game up, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. All right. People love the burps. They love when you chew into the microphone. Big fans of that. So,
and when you go.
Yeah. When you queef, people love it. They love a good queef.
It's queff.
Queff. Oh, sorry. A good queff.
What did you think of the match?
Oh, why queff, John? What did I think of the match? What do you mean, the beating? Tommy End fucking
beat down.
Throwing fucking bombs and busting open old Brock. I thought it was great. Fucking the Malachi Black character is amazing. His entrance is fantastic. The lights go out, then he's in the corner, then the lights go out, and then he's in the middle of the ring. And that mask, I want that mask. I just want to put it on and walk around my neighborhood, scare all the Hasidic Jews. What? They walk up and down the street. If I was behind a tree and I just fucking just slowly turned my head and I had the creepy mask on, I'd be like, hey.
I like your creepy voice.
You're welcome.
That'd you be would, fun. You freaks.
That might be the creepiest voice because it almost sounds like you're coming on to them. So it's.
Oh, come on, everyone.
Not better.
Not better or not worse?
Not better.
Not good.
Wait, what did you say to Mickey Janes?
So what did who's you Mickey say? Janes?
Almost as worser.
Yeah, I think they're the other one's almost as worse.
Yes.
I like that it wasn't like everyone thought like, oh, Cody's gonna make the save. So we're no Cody. We're prolonging that story. I wish I could hear what he was saying at the camera, and then I wish the camera caught Big Shoddy Lee's entrance because they kind of were like going right into wrap up mode, and you heard the music change, but I didn't know whose music it was. And I'm okay, you know, with Malakai Black mowing all these guys down. You get to see a little more probably out of Big Shoddy, so that's good. It's kind of like a you're ready to get in there and get your face kicked off. So love the character, love Malakai Black. Interested to see where it goes. You know, the possibilities are endless. Fucking Malakai Black and CM Punk, come on, give it to me.
There was a picture. Mrs. Money sent me a picture. I don't know where it was from today, but it was, I guess, Malakai and CM Punk sitting outside of an octagon like they were training in a cage somewhere at some point. So I'm all for, at some point, CM Punk and Malakai Black doing something. I think that's money feud right there.
Yeah, Kate's got it already taped to her wall with all the other CM Punk pictures of the last 10 years. Just turn your camera around, Kate. Let's see that fucking creepy, murderous wall of his creepy stalker.
She's got a shrine like Helga from Hey Arnold.
She's got hearts drawn around his face everywhere.
Oh my, every picture of AJ Lee has just got Kate's head plastered on it.
Or she's just big black X's over AJ Lee's face. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Guys, so, what were you doing in my apartment?
Oh my gosh. I knew it. So guys, that was the end of the show. They did hype up, as we said, Rampage on Friday night. August 27th, Rampage will have the AEW Tag Team Title Eliminator Finals, the Lucha Brothers versus Jurassic Express. That should be a good one. Tay Conti versus the Bunny and Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler versus Christian and Frankie Kazarian. We also know what our card looks like right now for next week, September 1st, Go Home Dynamite to the pay-per-view. We're going to have Powerhouse Hobbs with Hook Brother versus Brian Cage, Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans with, Matt Hardy in his corner. FTR will be facing Santana and Ortiz. Jim Ross is going to interview Chris Jericho and Tony Schiavone, poor Tony, is going to interview MJF. And it all out, we know what that card is starting to look like. It seems like a really packed card right now. We're going to have our AEW Championship match, Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage, CM Punk versus Darby Allin, who will also be there with Sting, Chris Jericho versus MJF in the career match, the final fight. We'll get Pac versus Andrade El Idolo, Paul White versus QT Marshall. The AEW Women's Championship will be defended by Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. Jon Moxley is going to fight Satoshi Kojima. We'll have our steel cage AEW Tag Team Championship match with the Bucks versus the winner of the Eliminator. And they did announce they're going to do the Women's Casino Battle Royal. They initially announced this morning that the first person announced is Nyla Rose. They did put a graphic up tonight. I think I saw like Thunder Rosa in the image and a bunch of other people, but I honestly don't have all the names. So look it up. So guys, a couple notes to go over. There is a programming note they mentioned tonight. We're gonna get a very special Saturday Night Dynamite, October 23rd, Dynamite makes its debut in Orlando. That is because TNT is going to be airing hockey on Wednesday night. So this is some of the scheduling conflicts that we'll see until I guess Dynamite makes the jump to TNT, or I'm sorry, to TBS in January of 2022. We also got a little bit, I know, I think, Kate, we were talking last week or the week before that, like 2.0, it was, Jericho kind of dropped the fact that they were signed. Nothing official was ever released. And then last week, Tony Khan did put out the official 2.0 are all elite. He also mentioned in the media scrum, because somebody mentioned Daniel Garcia and asked what his status was. Tony Khan played it coy. He didn't really say what was going on with Garcia. He said they have an agreement and that, you know, they're putting him in these positions because they're confident in his ability and what he can do. So we'll see what happens with Daniel Garcia. I think we're all in on Daniel Garcia. So hopefully they lock him up full time. Same thing with Wheeler Yuta. I really wish they would just do something with Wheeler Yuta, like get him in really officially. Guys, there's been a lot of rumors swirling about talent that's available out there. And clearly one of those big names is Adam Cole. At the NXT pay-per-view this weekend, he lost his match. His contract was running up. Well, Fight Club reported that Adam Cole's contract with the WWE expires at the end of the week. That would be August 27th. So, you know, he can't talk to anybody. He can't appear anywhere until his contract is up. That's why a lot of people thought he was showing up tonight. He could not. He did not. PW Insider is noting that the WWE is considering Cole done with the company, even though the contract has a couple more days to go. So we'll see what happens with Adam Cole. I think we'd be all in on him coming to AEW.
Oh yeah, baby. And the trolling from the Bucks and Kenny and Britt has been fantastic. If you've been following any of that, they put the seance link in their bio. Britt brought back when she was like, we got to talk about the elephant in the room that you murdered my boyfriend. Like, very, very fun stuff. And they did it immediately after he lost to NXT.
Yeah.
What?
Hey. You look like you want to say something.
I always want to say something.
Go ahead.
I just don't have anything important to say.
Okay. Well, then we'll keep going.
It'll be a home run. Adam Cole in the back in the fucking AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan. Don't go to MLW. The NWA, like fucking, I don't know, Nick Aldis and Adam Cole. Sign me up. Let's fucking go. Let's go.
Yeah, the potential for Adam Cole to work everywhere and anywhere is pretty awesome. I think AEW is the place to land. Hopefully they can pull this off, that one off, and I think they have a really good chance.
Here's my question for you boys and girls right now. Right, AEW is doing amazing things. They have tons of homegrown talent. They're snagging all these huge names, right? Because with CM Punk, obviously, it's safe to say we think Daniel Bryan's coming. The Bray Wyatt reports are out there. Adam Cole, Andrade. When do we have too much? Is there such thing as too much talent?
I don't think so with them, because they're still growing, right? So I think there's potential to do more. You know, like, they're still only running like 4 pay-per-views a year. I don't want to see them running a pay-per-view a month like the Federation does, but I think there's potential for them to add shows. I think there's potential for them to do house shows, but you need a roster large enough to split up when you can do that, right? Because you could potentially have some of your guys going and doing house shows in places and filming for Dark and Elevation and stuff like that. And then you can have your basically TV talent just traveling around from arena to arena doing that stuff. So I don't think there's a point where you can have too much, especially because they're at the point now where you just landed one of the biggest names out there in Punk. The rumor is that, you know, Bryan Danielson is on the way, pretty much sealed and signed. Some of these other names are out there, which we'll sort of talk about here in a second, but I don't think it's too much. I think they're doing what they need to do. They're still growing. They need to get big names. And I think the balance is good enough where they have veterans and names many people know and names that the masses who know those big names don't know.
I think it would be helpful if there was clarity around Dynamite, Rampage, Elevation, and Dark. Because I just think that the personalities are all kind of smushed right now outside of Dynamite. I think if we get a better sense of what Rampage is going to be in the next couple weeks, because what you don't want is like Buddy Murphy coming in and Lance Archer still not doing anything, right? Like, so as long as nobody gets completely lost in the shuffle, I'm all for it. I feel like Tony Khan will be like, we'll create AEW NXT if that's what needs to happen. Like, I think his priority is like, I'd rather expand programming and expand my roster than I would stop signing marquee players. But I do think there's kind of a time to take a breath on all of that. I think WWE's probably done releasing people for a little bit, it seems like, at least since they're like back in the swing of things and on the road. So that should also alleviate it. But what's interesting now to me, this stuff with Cole is a really big deal, because this isn't somebody that got released and is looking for a job. This is a guy that has options and is actively choosing to go to AEW in all likelihood, right? So what happens in that situation? What happens? Let's just stir shit up for no fucking reason. What if Charlotte Flair is like, I want to go there? That's not an issue because it's the women's division. Bad example. But like, what if a mid-tier guy who is being stifled at WWE wants to come to AEW? Like, when do you pump the brakes on that? And like, what is a steal from WWE versus what is like a legitimate perfect signing? So I think some clarity around what all the programming looks like is important, but I don't think you can ever really have enough star power. As long as other people that you are growing aren't getting lost in the mix, because it's going to go the other way at some point. Somebody's going to be a free agent from AEW that goes to WWE at some point. Like, that's the biz. So we'll see when that happens.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I agree. I would say one of the things that has been since wrestling went weekly episodic, like with Raw and then, you know, you had Nitro, I think one of the downsides that has been, you get really bored of wrestlers because you're seeing them every week. I think if AEW is smart, one, they now have two programs to spread wrestlers out, and you can hold guys off. If you get enough star power in, you can hold some stars off 1 week and have them on the next. One, it keeps them healthier, and two, it keeps them from getting stale on your roster. So, you know, if you bring in Adam Cole and he gets some star power, then maybe you don't have to put in, you know, a Jungle Boy every week, or, you know, something like, you can spread them out a little bit more. Obviously, I don't speak to financials. I don't know how that financially viable that is, but from a TV wrestling fan standpoint, that to me is best case scenario, where you have enough talent to always have stars on your show, but you don't have to have every star on every show. You can spread them out, give guys rest, and it keeps storylines fresh, and it doesn't tire you out. I mean, I think that's, you know, I think even Austin towards the end of his run was kind of having the same issue. When you see a guy that much, they get worn out. Whereas if you cut it every other week, that's half. It lengthens the time before you get really bored of them.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is the fact that they are so friendly with these guys being able to take time off and not work as many dates and stuff like that. I think, yeah, Matt, like, once you get to a point where you just are like signing anybody and everybody, yeah, then it becomes too much. But I think they're really balancing this pretty well right now. And with some of the other rumored names, it's still like, they're names that are so big, I don't think you can pass up.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, you're not going to say no to Bray Wyatt. You're not going to say no to Adam Cole. You're not going to say no to Buddy Murphy. But then, like, now, fuck, we got Malachi Black, we got Miro, we got a fucking roster now. Like, you got to find something for these people to do now, and you got to still keep Orange Cassidy in the loop, MJF, Jungle Boy, Darby.
But I don't feel like those people are getting lost, so I don't think we're there yet. The other thing is, some people are gonna retire. Like, Matt Hardy's gonna retire at some point,
of course,
point, right?
Yeah, he'll,
like,
probably
Chris Jericho's
go, yeah,
gonna retire. So, like, The revolving door will revolve, but I get where you're at. I get what you're saying.
Not against it. It's an exciting time, but, you know, you still have to, you still want them to give you a great product. And yes, if they're trying to shoehorn all these guys on the TV, or the waters are getting really muddy, it'll affect it, and you'll be like, eh.
That's fair.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what becomes of this.
It'll be interesting, and especially because there are, you know, a few of those big names out there. The rumors are just that it's all locked and loaded, right? So, like, Ruby Riott's been doing these video vignettes. Kate and I talked about it last week, her vignette where she missed the train from what her ticket said, Orlando to New York Penn. She seemed to be stuck in New Jersey, for those of us who are local enough to recognize all of the New Jersey Transit stuff, and Hoboken.
Very close.
She put another video up this week of her stealing a car to try to get wherever she's trying to go. They are not hiding the fact it's New Jersey. The plates on the car were clearly New Jersey. So it seems like she's stuck here in New Jersey. The thing to note in this video is she jumps in the car and she's excited. She stole the car. She's on her way. There's some music playing. She doesn't like Metric's Black Sheep or State Champ's song Elevated. And then when she switches the station, she happens to hear her old theme from the Federation playing, and she stops, and it triggers some bad memories, we suppose, because she has to compose herself. So the rumors clearly are that Ruby Riott is going to make an AEW debut at some point. I don't know the exact date of when she becomes available. I believe it's after the pay-per-view. So who knows? Maybe Arthur Ashe, maybe something else. But
Newark?
You think it's going to be Newark because she's stuck in New Jersey?
Yes.
Ooh. Ruby, I'll give you a ride, girl. You don't need to go Grand Theft Auto on everything. And you don't ever have to be sad you've missed New Jersey Transit. There are Ubers. You can choose the playlist. Like, Ruby, you don't have to go down this life of crime just to get to Arthur Ashe or to Newark or wherever you want to go. I'll hang.
All right. Are we forgetting that there's a show in Newark the week before Arthur Ashe? I feel like this fucking dead tennis player is stealing all of our thunder here, people.
Well, I mean, they're billing it as a huge event.
It is a huge event, but don't forget, man, Newark, New Jersey, the home of the New Jersey Devils.
That's true.
Dinosaur Barbecue was right there.
That's true. That's also
a barbecue
true.
Sandwich.
Yeah, delicious. Can we go?
The worst double parking I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, guys, can we get some dinosaur barbecue before
sure.
the show?
Yeah.
Or even the ale house across the street? Whatever.
Go,
I'm good for
home. Gotta go early, though, so we can get good seats. I'm not out fucking standing at the bar like some jerk off trying to stuff my mouth with a barbecue dinosaur.
Yeah, we're gonna go. We're gonna get dino barbecue, and I'm gonna be so excited.
We totally are. So our final note.
Going to AW in Newark, let us know. Matt loves to talk to people.
Guess who won't be? But guess what, Kate? I'm not on the Fightful Post show, and I'm not on 800 True. Different podcasts, so nobody knows. People don't even know that I'm fucking part of the Shining Wizards podcast, okay? I've done a great job to keep it under wraps. So you may say what you want, but clearly it didn't work at Ring of Honor in Baltimore, and it's definitely not going to work in Newark, New Jersey.
I'll give you the rub, kid. People are going to know your name by the end of the night.
They're going to know my name. Like, that fucking Shining Wizards Matt's a jerk off.
I respect it.
Keep your shirt on or not?
No, my shirt's going to stay on. I'll be like, Kate loves the small package, and I'm just going to walk away.
No!
Right. Kate does love a small package. So the final kind of note. The final note of the night is that the rumors are that Tony Khan is not done signing big names. The Wrestling Observer newsletter reported that sources close to the promotion that would be alerted to such things also noted a new major AEW acquisition is coming on the heels of the deals for CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. Some are believing that that is Bray Wyatt. Meltzer said that it's most likely happening. It's all the same. It's at the same stage as Aleister Black long before it happened. I don't think there's a pen to paper or anything like that, but the expectation is pretty strong, put it that way. So we talked about it, like Bray Wyatt is the rumored name. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the rumor of like the big talent acquisition, because I don't know if Bray Wyatt is the name that's going to kind of like put people, you know, get people super excited. I mean, you're saying, I mean, people will be excited, but when you're saying like, you know, it's a deal like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, if that's the Bray Wyatt is the guy, but I would still be very excited to see Bray Wyatt working with Malakai Black, working with some of the guys in the Dark Order. I do not want him to be. I'm not saying he's the guy who's going to take over the Dark Order. Please, I don't think that. But I just think that there's a lot of ways if he makes his way to AEW, it could be exciting to have Bray Wyatt there.
Yeah, I mean, they got the big ones, right? You get Bryan Danielson and Punk. Like, there's nobody left that is that way, especially since Brock just went back to SummerSlam. So unless you're pulling someone that I can't think of, like, out of retirement, whoever it's going to be is going to be not as big of a deal as those two in all likelihood, right?
Not unless it's somebody like crazy. Like, I'm sure if people said, if the name was some like The Undertaker, right? Like, people would go fucking crazy. Or if it's John Cena, right? Like, those would be huge things. Those, I don't think those are going to happen ever in this lifetime, but like, those would be like massively huge names. But yeah, I just don't know who's left out there. I guess maybe it's Bray Wyatt, but it just doesn't seem of the same level to me.
Or Adam Cole, baby.
I mean, Adam Cole's good, but I don't think it's the same level.
I don't have anything to say.
Oh, you looked like you were thinking.
I've said my pieces.
Well, then I think we've said all of our pieces. So,
peace be with you.
Yeah, and also with you.
Oh, stop.
Guys, I won't be here next week, but everybody else will. So yay.
It's with your spirit now.
I knew someone was going to call that out. And with your spirit.
I was in a church this weekend. I got called out for being an old school Catholic because I did not know the chant. I didn't remember the change.
I thought you were going to say I didn't remember the chant.
Oh, that could work too.
You deserve. That's not right.
She's got herpes. No.
My God. No.
Cowboy shit. No.
Those poor altar boys.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
Take it home. Let's go.
So the crew will be back next week. I'm out. So enjoy the Go Home Mark Order podcast episode. Guys, I guess I'll have to get you my picks for the pay-per-view, you know, at some point next week. But have fun. Good luck. Hope this isn't a 5-hour marathon with nobody to keep the train on the tracks.
It's got to be.
It's not going to be. It's going to be fucking 45 minutes of gold.
Just 45. The other 3 hours is going to be shit.
Yeah. Coming hot.
We're not going to talk about Dynamite at all.
Coming hot. Not a lot of meat on the bone for Rampage. Dark's not going to get talked about. Right. Rankings. Nobody gives a shit, right? Because you're not here. We don't go over the dumb rankings. Right into Dynamite. I'm not going to read every promo verbatim, so we don't have to worry about that. Right, bang through the matches, boom, bang, plugs, we're out. Peace out. Peace in the Middle East, people.
Wow. That is not what's going to happen, but I appreciate your ambition.
Ah, definitely. Fucking just real fast. Right, not like this. When Anthony's here, it's slow and easy. Bang. Slow and easy like Whitesnake.
Because the Monday night show is notorious for being quick.
That's what she said.
My goodness. Well, tune in next week and see what happens.
What's going to happen?
See what happens. What do you think?
Are you going to listen live?
I don't know.
What,
maybe.
You know, the internet in the fucking wildwood?
No, I do, but I don't know what I'm going to be doing at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I know what you're going to be doing.
I knew he was going to say that.
Yeah, with one room.
Yeah.
With my kid in the room.
Slow and easy.
Oh, my goodness. That's not going to happen. I don't even know if I'm going to get to see Dynamite.
How many
whites to catch it?
How many Whitesnake songs can you name? Ready, go.
Here I go again on my own.
It's one.
Yeah. Na, 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 na. That's one of two. And then the other one is Still the Night.
That's right. Slide it in, slow and easy. Whitesnake's the best.
Nope. Why don't you talk to Joe Walsh about that?
What's the music video where she's on the car?
Here I Go Again.
That is Here I Go Again. Okay.
Cherry Pie.
Do I recall, by the way, seeing somebody say something like Kate belongs in a Whitesnake video on Twitter. No offense, Kate. You're no Tawny Katane.
Oh, so yesterday on Sour Grapes, which is very fun.
Oh boy, mute her mic. Yeah, I don't want to hear. I know
she got asked about the white fucking comment.
Cosplay and then all our weird fucking followers
when
trying to get up in them guts.
Funeral garb. I just had like this low cut ish black like bodysuit thing on, and I had red lipstick, and my hair was down, and someone said I looked like I belonged in a Whitesnake video. It was a little bit true.
She fucking gets all dolled up for Friday night. She gets all dolled up for fucking Sour Grapes. She shows up here like she just ran a fucking marathon.
Grappling. I have makeup on. It was 90 degrees today. Cut me some slack, man.
No, I will not cut you some slack. If you're going to be 100%
listen,
on the 10 podcasts you do.
You are wearing the same shirt you wore yesterday today.
How do you know what I wore yesterday?
Because you said it at the top of the show.
Yeah, okay.
Listen.
So,
all
no
I know is
guess what? No one's following me for my looks. All right there, sweetheart.
That's true. That's very true. All I know is this. For somebody who says this is my home, she sure acts like it because she doesn't get all dolled up. She doesn't give a shit where she's sitting in her apartment.
We started the show. This is where I sat for Sour Grapes and for Sean. And if you remember, when I started the show, I just had my laptop and I would sit on the living room floor. Now I got a webcam and a white girl light and a microphone, and you get the same respect as the other guys. Look at that.
Yeah, finally.
Kate's a wrestling fan.
My office was done, and now there's a leak in my ceiling, which sucks.
Just another excuse.
I bet all your followers got a leak in their pants, too, when they see these videos.
Oh, my God, Matthew.
Bunch of ghouls. I like Kate. She's a wrestling fan. We're going to be friends.
First of all, that's only some of them. Second of all,
I don't know how you fucking do it. I would close them DMs.
My DMs are closed.
I'd be fucking doing background checks on some of these people. If you got an egghead, you're out.
Yeah, you've been very helpful with the shooting fireworks at a vagina's comment. How helpful of you.
I didn't say you did that, although I bet you'd get a fuckload of followers if you did a video of that.
Kate, OnlyFans. Come on, Kate. They said they're not going to do the banning of the adult stuff.
Well, I'm home. We are home. I am home. I am job.
So check out the Mark Order podcast next week. Same time, same channel.
While I will be running the show. It'll be a tightly run ship like the Monday night show.
Okay. And we're going to Ring of Honor on September 12th. So if you're going to be there, hang out.
More importantly,
Matt and Sean and me.
Well, I hope.
More importantly, we're all going to be in Newark and Arthur Ashe.
Newark, New Jersey. Sean won't be in Newark.
Well, those who count will be in Newark.
Schlong, what are the logistics of this Arthur Ashe thing? You're not going to drive all the way back down south afterwards, are you?
I might. I don't really mind. I don't drink or anything.
It wasn't about the drink. It's just a long
drive. No, but I mean, the drive doesn't really bother me.
This fucking JYD said the same thing. Look where he is.
My God, the amount of morbidity on the show tonight.
What? He thought he could drive at night, too, and he fucking fell asleep, and now he gone.
Ryan, you're more than welcome to crash here so that you don't end up with similar fate.
I mean, unless it's really late. Again, I've driven home, like, from bachelor parties at, like, 4 in the morning before. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, my God. All right. You people, that's nuts.
You people?
It would be, I'd be on the road for 5 seconds, and I'd be asleep.
That's a terrible, terrible way to drive, sir.
I'm wide awake when I do it. I don't have any of the tired. And then I get to my bed, and I can sleep, and I can sleep in the next morning. It's perfect.
Schlongomania. What is... So, no drinking. And no...
No drinking.
No druggeries.
No druggeries.
What is your vice?
Clearly, it's food. I mean, let's just be fair here. It's food.
No, I don't know. I have a friend who does not drink, and he, like, loves... Pepsi is his thing. Like, that's his thing.
Oh, no. I mean, I like Pepsi. I was off it for a while and then back on, but it's just any food. I got a sweet tooth.
So
if you give me some. Yeah, I mean, any food, but really candy. I love candy. Give me candy.
Bubblegum, rocks, candy.
He loves candy, bubblegum, and taffy. And all he wanted was a Pepsi, just one Pepsi.
And you wouldn't give it to me. Just one Pepsi.
know who loves Pepsi?
Shut it.
You know who loves Pepsi? He probably doesn't.
I've been trying to get off the air for like 10 minutes.
He probably doesn't even drink fucking soda. Do you see his teeth? He doesn't drink soda.
So
buttons.
You can join the show next week.
So his views up to yet. His video's up to 292,000 views already.
Was it my video?
No, the CM Punk's interview from tonight. Oh, they put it up, it's already up to almost 300,000 views.
If you want to watch something entertaining, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, the flagship.
Oh, enough with the Shining Wizards.
Nah, dude. In the middle of the Mickey James interview where Nelly falls off of the table and hits me in the face. It's fucking hysterical.
But I'm sorry, the best part of the entire interview is you referring to Booger Eater as Booger Eater and Mickey James loving it.
She was fantastic.
I also have a minor bone to pick, Matthew.
Oh, hit me, buddy.
I was the first person to get a Shining Wizard sign on television.
Right. Yep.
Somehow, I still haven't been to Studio A.
I mean, we could look logistically. We could work that out. I know you have a crazy schedule. You have a child.
What are you shaking out for? Tony's house is falling apart constantly.
I haven't been to Tony's since that. I've only been to Tony's twice. We'll set something up, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have the rub to get into Studio A. That's clearly.
No, I love that this is all part of the recording.
You do, but you don't. You know, Kate got like fucking 2,000 followers in like 3 days, so I had to take advantage of that.
Very popular.
I mean, I don't know if those people are really into us.
No.
But, you know, it's worth a shot. If I can get the rub, I'll take it.
Really?
Guys, if you follow... Wait, I got this. Guys, if you follow our Twitter, I will get you into the DMs of Kate.
Would you, for the love of God...
Well, that doesn't help
I better get a cut of that shit, because I closed mine for a reason.
You had your chance with your OnlyFans feet thing, and, well...
Still ignored it. So guys...
Anthony's tired. He wants to go
I'm trying
home.
To wrap it up. Kate it's keeps true. Asking me to wrap it up.
Yeah, but you know Kate she doesn't never, like it wrapped up.
Fuck. You beat me to it. God damn it. I was just going to say, Kate never asked anybody to wrap it up.
Blood with condoms, not small packages.
That's not what you said. We have the audio to prove it. So anyway, tune in next week for the Mark Order podcast with Matthew, Ryan.
Easy with the government names, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Matt. My apologies.
Thank you, Ant.
So follow us at Mark Order Pod on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/MarkOrderPod. Thanks to everybody who watched us tonight.
Thank you.
You can always come back and watch our videos on Facebook. As Kate said before, we're going to probably do the dark stuff on our socials at some point. So stay tuned. We'll let you know when that happens. Stickers are on the way. We'll let you know how you can get some. Other than that, it's a wrap.
Goodbye and good night.
Good night, Gracie.
You asshole. Rest in peace, Big Cat Fez Watt.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.